My name is Max.
My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
This guy's name is Travis Sintel.
And you are awaited.
You're very contemplative this morning.
I want to lend gravity to everything we say. It's also my way of trying to prolong.
When I think of Yuri Lowenthal, two words come to mind. Gravitas and beauty.
When I think of Travis Sintel, I think of three words.
Uh-huh.
Feral.
Uh-huh.
Nurse.
Yes.
Tiger.
Yeah. I got that nurse tiger crazy blood in me, Yuri.
Yeah, I know. It feels good. Filling you up.
It feels good. If by crazy blood, you mean Starbucks coffee.
Starbucks coffee and the bourbon that I pulled out.
Yeah.
Nothing like drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. There it is.
We're not fucking around today.
Wow.
I told Yuri I made a bad nerd decision last night. I skipped out on this party because I wanted to get up early and be fresh for this. And then I found out that George R.R. Martin was there, and I didn't go.
You just would have embarrassed yourself in front of
him. I would have, but that would have been a great story.
That's true.
I would have loved to have embarrassed myself in front of George R.R. Martin.
I don't know, man. I did it once in front of Jake Gyllenhaal, and I thought I was being cool and everything. And
I love that story. I think you told it on the podcast. No, you didn't.
I don't think, no.
You're right.
I told it on a different show, but yeah.
Oh, man. We have a commentary coming up, so we're already into episode talk, but we should get to commentary.
Oh, that's right, because this isn't, yeah, right. Yeah, because we already did the last episode, technically, sort of.
Yeah, so this is the episode we expect you guys will go back and listen to over and over again, though. We expect that people will go back to this and...
Yeah, hey, you're right, we should get to it.
Let's put on the Yuri and Travis commentary.
Right, that's because you guys are totally going to do that.
Here's the idea, guys, is that what we're going to do is we're going to count to three and start the movie, and then you guys will do it with us, and then you'll turn your sound off, and then we're going to provide a lovely commentary for the film for you. Alternatively, you can listen to this in your car,
right?
And just imagine the movie
because you know it so well. Yes, you will cue the start of your. We're gonna leave the audio up for the engine starting at the beginning, and then we're gonna cut it out, and it's gonna be like the film was intended to be silent.
Yeah, we're gonna do a commentary on a silent.
Except Travis and I will do all the growls.
Yeah, yeah. I probably will do some feral growls. I'm gonna overdub all of Zoe Kravitz's lines.
Right.
Did you see Twitter suggested that we follow her?
No.
Yeah, and I was like, "Listen, Twitter, we need to have a talk. This is not what I signed up for."
I also, you know, this is not as much in the way that we do things. This is not how commentary tracks are usually done. There's usually not an intro at the top. It usually just sort of starts so that people can.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. We do our own thing, man.
Right.
If there's one thing we've done over 52 weeks is not do it right.
It's not do it right.
So why would we start now?
Yeah.
On the last episode, let's end the way we started, which is fucked up.
Okay. All right.
All right, so you're going to count us off. Yeah.
All right. Listen up, everyone.
He didn't count us off. He just started it.
I totally didn't. All right, you guys all synced up? Synced up?
Here comes the line.
My world is fire.
Right.
So, we're actually going to do all the lines.
That'd be the best thing ever.
Kennedy Miller Mitchell.
Who's Mitchell again?
I guess it's new production, because Kennedy was the one who died during...
Yeah, I know that
Iron
one.
Kennedy died during Thunderdome.
Right. Also, I've been meaning to ask this for a while.
Okay, might as well do it now.
This is the time.
A George Miller George film. Miller,
right.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't.
Also,
not,
I really love the intro to this film. We didn't discuss it in depth last time. The sort of flashbacks to nuclear fallouts and something.
This is your favorite shot.
I love that shot. Max Rokitansky. Is he ever given a last name in previous films, or is this the first time?
First movie.
The first movie.
Mad Max.
Why did they make him, I assume, Polish?
I don't think they've ever... Yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Why are there Russians in the outback?
Joe, but
in the nuclear outback?
Yeah, I guess... I don't know.
No, it is a weird... Also, it's got the word rock in it, which is fucking awesome.
I like that.
But then you sort of undercut it by Atansky.
Now, this is the there's two things in the back of the Interceptor here that remind us of the video game that you pointed out last time.
The extra tanks.
Yeah, which I never noticed before.
It might be a total, I think it's just synchronicity.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that they shave his head, because this whole beard thing, the beard and long hair thing.
It's too attractive.
It's got the fucking, the zooming in, everything centered. The stuff on the side of the tires, I mean, all the little details.
A lot of the stuff now, actually, going back and watching this again, it all feels more cohesive because we've just been winding our way through this film bit by bit.
Yeah.
And to go back and go, this does all cohese together.
Also, the video game starts off with him losing his car like this again.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You know what's I think going to be the hardest part of this commentary is... that me turning off my phone is not being able to hear the music while watching it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in my head.
Yeah.
But it's in my head like 24/7.
This shot is so smart, where Max gets his car rocked and flipped. And
they did it in a way that that is not usually done for stunts like that.
No, and that cut, masking that cut in the dust is really, really smart.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a little context of what we're seeing, just because I expect not everyone will watch this along with the film and maybe listening in their car.
Do it.
Do we think that little girl, here's the thing, in that flashback, she gets hit by the
Carmada that actually comes later in this film.
Right,
yes.
So what's up? Is that just his way of mixing a premonition with...
I had not thought about that.
Because we've decided from the comic books is that girl was not killed by a Carmada. She was killed in the Underground Mall or whatever.
Yeah, or after the Underground Mall, after he saves her by the buzzards, yeah.
So I wonder if this is guilt mixed with premonition, which is kind of exactly what happened.
Greg Van Borsum's kid.
That's right. Greg Van Borsum, you have a creepy little kid. No offense, because you could kill me.
Right.
Any follow-up thoughts on this organic mechanic tattooing scene? Because I think we covered it pretty
In the Art of Mad Max book, if I had just opened that, we wouldn't have had a freeze frame on this.
Because
it's all right there. The sketches, everything.
God, we really did a good job in this podcast.
Yeah, right.
We really did a good job.
For me to have read that right before the last episode.
Yeah.
How
many people... God. So this is where the branding happens. Honestly, in your best approximation... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No,
how many people have that Morton Joe
tattoo at this point?
Yeah,
so many that it makes me happy.
Okay.
That we in our people have met one. Mm-hmm. That means that there's got to be
hundreds.
At least one for every listener of this podcast, at least. So like eight.
Yeah, your math is questionable.
Apparently, Tom did all this whole sort of chase, all the fights. Apparently, this is all Tom.
That's incredible. He's very agile, this fella.
He's agile and strong, and he's got a new show coming out on FX that looks like it's amazing.
He's moving into TV?
He's, I don't know, or maybe, because that's where a lot of good stuff is happening. You see.
Yeah, who knows? This is a pretty badass sequence.
Yeah.
This little girl shows up throughout this. I do think we have a better knowledge of her and a deeper knowledge of her from the comic books and the video game.
Which mirrors the comic books.
Yeah, so I do think that we have a sense of who these people are now, except there's one guy we're about to see in a flashback sequence who I don't know who he is still. So there's a little girl, we know her, she dies.
Right.
And then there's this guy coming up. Who's that guy?
You know, one of the listeners...
Who's that people?
One of the listeners posited that guy is the guy at the end with the dreads...
But clearly not.
...and the nose, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
That feels like a racist comment.
That feels right.
Yeah,
just lightly, slightly racist.
It's just a slight smattering of racism.
Of racism.
Like.
So good.
This is great.
Yeah.
This is where the compositing and stuff in the green screen does not bother me, really. It's you can tell for sure.
Yeah, but...
It doesn't bug me.
Because you're so taken in by what's going on.
That's exactly right. When the foreground action is so strong, it's not until you relax your eyes and seen it a couple times that you even register the compositing.
I love that pulling that wet rawhide or the whatever it is across his face is still such a weird... Mad Max Fury Road, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
You know why I'm going to be drinking during this commentary?
I don't know.
Because my favorite commentary track of all time is the one for John Carpenter's The Thing.
Right.
And you can tell that Kurt Russell and John Carpenter start drinking at the beginning, and by the end, they're toast.
Oh, no. If we weren't doing this at 9 a.m., I could do that.
Okay.
But I'll join you for
Well,
a
you know
bit.
What? I stay home today, so and I know you got to go, so I will drink for the two of us.
Oh, yes.
Glug,
if you get
glug.
Super drunk, that'd be real, real
wouldn't you,
good.
Wouldn't you? Yeah.
I still think of all the wheels. Oh, there's so much to talk about here. Of all the wheels, Furiosa's wheel is the best wheel.
It's gonna be hard to... Yeah. Because it's that wire.
It's cool. It's really beautiful.
Doesn't have a baby head on it, though.
No, but it is this weird mix of masculine and feminine, I think, which is really
bourbon
nice.
Bourbon is delicious, even at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what jeans Tom Hardy is wearing in this, or what pants and
so
clothes, because I would just like to dress like him all the time.
Yeah, we should just pretend that we are right now.
I'm totally dressed like that.
I have his beard and mustache.
This
is the first time. Okay. So this is where Morton Joe is putting on his regalia in order to address.
This is one of your
people.
Early sort of favorite Touchstone moments. We spent a lot of time on this.
Yeah, and it's one of the moments where I thought that this podcast idea might be a good one, because I was very I was optimistic. It was going to be fun to hang out with you and talk through all these things. So I was into the idea, but I didn't know if it would be a waste of everyone's time or if we would have to vamp.
We built a lot of that practical. Some of that's CG, but most of those big turbine things are all practical.
That's amazing.
We were thinking we might do an episode on that book, The Art of Mad Max, and it totally, we're not going to, but it totally deserves it. Quentin Kinahan, ladies and gentlemen. We clap every time we see a guest.
Quentin Kinahan.
Quentin. Go out and buy, if you're a fan, if you're listening to this podcast, just go out and buy The Art of Mad Max. Yeah. We don't get any money from that, but it's
pretty
so
great.
Good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so good.
It's a beautiful
and not art,
coffee
not
table
art
book.
Inspired by the big coffee table book, The Art of Mad Max, because it's delicious.
Yeah. I also want to just track one thing.
Yes.
There's the V8.
V8. My new high five.
We have old high fives too, though.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Because you can't hear that high five as well on the podcast.
Oh, so much good. I do think that the mysticism, religiosity, and sort of like faith-based aspect of Mad Max, we've really gotten a big handle on over the course of the podcast. And thanks to the video game in some parts, thanks to the comic book, but also, just exploring out what is going on in this sort of weird, weird, backed-up world.
I was surprised at the huge positive response to the video game episode. I thought people were going to be like, oh, we don't want to hear about the video game. But we may have gotten some of the most comments and emails from people saying they like the video game.
You know what's interesting? They never show one of the downtrodden, the wretched, doing a V8 salute.
Because they haven't earned it.
Yeah. Well, also, it's not
but
their
you would
faith.
Think,
interestingly.
That's true, but you would think if they want to curry favor with the gods that they would throw it up.
That's what I'm saying.
But
there's
something... You gotta keep them separate.
There's something interesting.
Otherwise, it's confusing.
Also...
But see, there's the, carrying their little houses.
Yeah,
that's totally in the video game. That guy's wearing it.
Yeah, that's almost the same exact one, I would say. Same design.
I blame Mark Sexton.
Fucking Mark Sexton. We have a better sense now. We wasted a little bit of your time, listeners, I think, on...
A lot of their time, let's be honest.
Well, 52 hours and counting of your time. but the breathing apparatus worn by the upper classes is such a sensible, logical, easy idea. And we didn't really start talking about that till midway through when we realized what was going on, I think. Because Furiosa doesn't wear one because,
she's
an imperator.
Yeah, she's not family.
Also, you don't want to cover that beautiful face.
Right.
Where you're quite happy to cover Nathan Jones' face, no offense. Right. If you're listening, you could kill me. and part of the awesomeness of Morton Joe is his...
Right.
His
so
sweet
that's,
mask.
Yeah, his scrubber, his breather, it's whatever it is. But that goes back to that earlier question I had, which is why is Nathan Jones is so weird? Like, it's just sort of semi-transparent. But it's because you don't want... I mean, you want a Morton Joe to have that, to be hiding and to be fearsome in that way. But you want Nathan Jones to have the same breathing apparatus, but you don't want to... To make it look like Morton Joe's, and you want it
this
to be...
This shot is so great.
It is.
Again, this is what we registered as the ending of the film. They are here pushing people back down, and in the end, literally giving people a hand up.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, I'm just into tipping the film today.
Even watching it now with no sound, as many times as we've gone through this later, I'm taken back to the first time that I saw this movie. And... Every little bit of this, I remember looking at it and going, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
This movie.
Yeah, every shot is beautiful.
I mean, are we gonna wait until another movie like this comes along for us to do this again? I mean,
we'll have to figure out.
We can't. We certainly can't force it.
I love that. Also, Max is refusing to come down out of his cage, and they have to tase him until he comes down.
He's like, "I'm not coming down."
Side note: Have you ever been tased by a cattle prod?
No.
Many times. It is really unpleasant.
Many times.
Yes, Jerry.
You've been electric cattle prodded many times.
It is distinctly unpleasant.
Do we need to do another? That's Morsaw, isn't it? It is.
Oh,
it is
mediocre Morsaw.
Mediocre Morsaw.
He's a bigger character than we thought. Yeah. Also, this is a bit
He's a stunt guy. He's one of the...
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I don't want to say monsters at rest necessarily, but I love the idea here of this is War Boys going on a standard run.
Right.
They're relaxed. Yeah. They're just hanging out. They're not. Their hands aren't on their weapons.
Yeah, I love this. Oh, this such a great... What a great goddamn shot that is.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Oh.
And I hope this commentary is not just me going, that's a great... Oh, God, it's great. But that's probably what it's going to be. Gastown.
Yeah.
Gastown.
See Gastown.
That is
video
as
game.
Much as you see of Gastown in the whole movie.
Yeah, and it's pretty great looking.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of as you'd expect, steam and pipes.
Yeah. Belching smoke pipes.
We never really settled what the white clay is on them. I still think some sort of protection from the sun is.
I think that's got to be part of it. It would just accelerate their cancer, but it's also, I mean, so you can mark. The different, because clearly these guys, you know, then there's the yellow, the sulfur paint of the guys from the bullet farm.
That's right.
And then, you've got to give it, mother's milk, so delicious. Why don't you think people sell mother's milk to drink? I mean, there's got to be a black market for that now in today's world, right?
Yes, but I also hate that.
Yeah, well, sure, but, you know what? I wonder if they did all the oxygen stuff so they could match Quentin. Because Quentin said he's got to have it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they're like, oh, that's a great, we should all have it.
I love that I wonder if they added...
Good idea, Quentin.
Yeah, right. And they added all those scars for Quentin also, we learned it.
And there were some were his own, and then they added some.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a black market for milk, but there must be.
There has to be.
It just makes me sick to think about. Again, this is this... I didn't clock this earlier in the commentary, but Nathan Jones has a necklace of baby heads.
Yes.
Which we didn't really dig into, but this baby head motif is really interesting, and I don't quite... I know I still think it's in previous Mad Maxes, but is there a particular reason for these baby head motifs?
In the Art of Mad Max, they talk about the baby head motif... But I think it was in regards to something else. But it was new life and fertility, in a weird way, in a world that where all the babies are dying.
Yeah. Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. Actually, there'd be this like weird, macabre, baby head sense going around. And now you
I
cut
wish
to
we
our babies.
Hugh Kingsburn on the podcast. He just seems like he'd be the fucking coolest, weirdest guy.
He's got real gravitas, that fella.
He really does. And apparently he is. He's a character in real life.
And also doesn't give a shit about guns. He just ripped Miss Giddy's
right? Yeah. Miss Giddy, the first history woman, or a history woman. I love having found
Let's
that out.
Let's just say the history woman.
Okay, the history woman. Yeah. And here we get introduced to really our favorite character.
Yeah.
Bless his heart, Nux.
What's the scarring around the mouth from, do we think? That's just ritual scarification?
I think it's ritual. It makes his head look more like a skull. I think.
Yeah.
I would think. They've already redone the interceptor. It's already chromed up. I always forget about that. They put the things on the back to drop the... here he is. Too good for our podcast, but...
almost
friend of the podcast. No, he's not. He may still come back.
Yeah, so even though this is our commentary we may do other episodes in the future, you guys. You know why? Because we can't let go.
Because there's going to be more... This film... refuses to die.
We're not people who move on from things.
No, we're not.
Love
that
this.
Fucking altar. You know what? And it probably got disassembled after the production and all that shit got thrown away.
Yeah.
That's always... I always
you
marvel
want that
at
in
that.
Your house.
I would put that in my house. I would build an addition onto my house to put that in there.
I love the
and
idea.
And Colin Gibson, if you're listening to this and you decide to come on our show and you're like, yeah, no, it's here. If you want to ship it out, I will pay.
Yep. I will pay a little bit to
help
you with
okay.
that.
Okay, okay. You can kick in $5.
I'll kick it. I was going to say $5, actually. Okay, is the number I was going to say.
And this interaction, yeah, go.
I was going to say, back to the altar-wise, the way the light hits that, and it's partly cinematic, but also it's religious. You know, if you go into any church in Europe, and the controlled light on the altar is like a very, very common thing.
Yeah.
Which I really like. It's also interesting to me that Slid is so much bigger and more muscular than Nux. Nux is like the dominant guy.
He is.
And for that one shot right there where Nux has to be dominant, they put him on like a little step stool to shoot this.
Yeah.
Well, they make him a little bigger than Justin.
Also, that thing on the front of his muzzle, because I was reading The Art of Mad Max, they talk about how they, you know, everything had to be, looked like it was, everything has to be reused. There's no, you know, that's a garden tool, that fork.
Oh, wow.
It's
You're
just
right.
a garden tool. Yeah.
That's so smart.
Yep. Blood.
God, what a fun creative process this must have been.
God, everything is so perfect.
Did we
ever... Oh, I didn't realize that Slit was stapled together on his stomach, too. Not
oh,
just
I
in
did
his
not
face.
See that.
He has scars on his ribs that are also stapled.
And
you know, and this is a point at which you either lost the film or said this is the greatest film of all time.
Yeah. I did not notice this before, but he has just basically three stage lights on the front of his thing from
Does
like a
really?
Theater. Look at it in front of his. Oh, Miss Giddy's That's... getting rocked there. This is great. They just
I always forget
this
that Slit has that thing on his arm too.
It's so specific and such a small enclave. See if you see the D4ers lighting here. He's got three, literally, like
park hands.
Yeah, exactly. You can't see him in that shot, I don't think. But there's three of them.
To light him up. Yeah, because remember, at night, he's the only thing that's lit.
Yeah, but they're just from a theater, which is, I guess, repurposed. That's where those lights come from. The most iconic shot of the film there, I would say.
Yeah, just about.
I love the idea, too, of... it's the equivalent of taking your hands off the wheel and being like, woo! Yeah, right. But you take the wheel off and just go... It's just also
It's also a way, you know, that that never occurred to me before, but all the war boys to a certain extent look alike, but their steering wheels are so for him to show Immortan Joe exactly who was leading
like
the pack,
that.
I never
thought about
that.
It's me, the guy with the baby head steering wheel.
Also I can't look at the war rig and harpoons anymore without thinking of Moby Dick. Fucking Mark Mangini ruined it for me. And by ruined it made it 100 times better.
That's how I talk about sex.
Mark Mangini made sex better for all of us.
I really think this opening, if you, again, to lean back into this idea, if you sit back on this and just say, oh, it's a chase sequence, whatever, and there's some random stuff happening, it's not that good. But if you lean into it and go, why are they doing that? Where are those flares coming from? What is the point? It really engages you actively because so many things are happening.
Yeah.
There's our Russian buzzards.
Doing on our patch. I love that you said sitting back because literally I'm sitting on the edge of the couch. There's this comfortable couch. I'm drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
It's having clearly no effect on me because, I mean, it's certainly not calming me.
Well, no.
Although when I drink, I get more excited and talky. I'm very happy drunk.
Ugh, I like that about you.
But this movie makes me into a happy drunk, so you're not even going to notice.
How many times in this film do they do the Mad Max classic ramp speed thing?
I don't know.
A couple times in the fights.
I don't know.
Have we seen it yet? I don't think we've seen it yet. But I got a hint of it, like with the buzzards coming down. I don't think it was.
They've had those quick push-ins to the center of frame.
Yeah.
God, these fucking vehicles. And having talked to Matt Bound, read some other stuff, and just the seeing photos again in The Art of Mad Max of the different vehicles
they
designed.
Sick.
Fuck.
Oh, I love traps in wide open wasteland.
Yeah.
The idea of being able to lay a trap in a jungle makes sense to me because there's so many places to hide things.
Yeah.
They just laid a trap in the middle of the. Oh. God, these stunts are so good.
I really, really...
I don't even understand how these are done.
That's right.
Morsov.
Save Morsov.
Okay, cut. The psychological impact of throwing a shot of a face flying towards camera, even though you can't quite register it fully, is so strong.
Yeah, and that's not a 3D trick either. That's not like we better put something in like this. That's just classic... George Miller.
The subtle, George Miller, we have not talked about this, but George Miller is he's a master of subtle psychology that's just experiential. Like, he knows, we'll try this, and then he found out that it worked, and now he tries it and uses it.
Yeah, and using the medium of film, there's that foot thing and the, oh, god damn it.
With her crossbow.
It's just going to be me choking on how good this movie is for 2 hours.
Choking on Goodness.
Choking on Goodness.
Podcast.
There it is, the reveal. Also, there's a big growl on that that you guys probably just heard.
I love
that. That is an animal growl courtesy of Mark Mancini.
Yeah, yeah. The classic reveal of having an explosion and a cloud of dust and then the big dog coming through that cloud. Like, you thought you destroyed us? Look out for this guy. It's perfectly used classic storytelling when it suits him, which he's not afraid to do. You know what I mean? Like, he's not afraid to use tropes if it suits it and it's if it's okay and if it feels subverted in any specific way.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, that we don't need to dig too much into this, but the whiteness of the war boy's skin really makes Tom Hardy look tan and nice.
And makes him stand out from the rest of them.
Yeah, which we acknowledge.
I mean, because I'm trying to veer away from how handsome we think Tom Hardy is, and trying to make it into like film comment.
No, he's really
but
good
film
looking.
Commentary, but film comment is a magazine.
He's very good film magazine. Very masculine.
Yeah, he so is Morsov in that moment. Actually, no, he's giddy like a little schoolboy.
Yeah. This attack sequence.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Oh shit. You know what I am happy about, too? We really nailed this evolution thing.
Get it,
Morsov.
Get it. This is it. This is it. I mean, I've talked about this so many times.
We get to see it again.
This is... Yeah.
Oh, get up. Get up.
Get up.
Oh, he's strong.
Get up.
Yes.
Yes. Do it, Morsov. Do it.
Oh.
So good. This is it. This encapsulates so much of...
The perfect death.
Oh.
Oh, what a great shot. Oh. That's so great.
Everybody's witnessing, except for fucking Slit. Slit can't
such an
take
asshole.
It.
Slit is such an asshole. And importantly, no one really gets to see Slit's death because it's between two cars, which
right.
is awesome. He
right.
gets witnessed by only Max, who hates him.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the thing. It keeps introducing new elements every time. Like, it's paced down to the millisecond where just when you get a sense of what's going on, you think you know what's up, you see a new plot element.
Let's talk about it because, you know, you could argue that something that is relentless...
brutal.
That is relentless action from start to finish with very little breaks.
Yeah.
That you could... submit to action fatigue, which is what I get when I watch, you know, Marvel movies or whatever, and it's the... Did you see that I put the skeleton arm on my smart car?
I didn't see it yet. No, I didn't see it yet.
It's ridiculous.
You're such a weirdo.
And you know, that's because she lost her arm and they painted that on the side of the thing to replace the arm.
Yeah.
For some reason, and I think we've gone over many of the reasons why this could be, that you never... get action fatigue from this movie.
I don't.
Because it's all story and character based and everything is justified and slightly different and super creative and really well thought through.
Mm. I think rip that top right off. I do think if you don't engage with the material, you get action fatigue because you don't understand the purpose of it.
Right.
This is that elephant killing moment. It's so great to me. Woolly Mammoth, Neanderthals on Woolly Mammoth. I think we nailed that. You know, and having talked... Oh, Jesus Christ. It's going to be
this
a hard new commentary.
This is a good tumble.
Oh.
Good tumble. Good tumble.
Look at fucking Slit. What an asshole. he's such an asshole. Not the actor, if you still want to come on.
But, yes.
The idea of this evolution of...
Storm.
Of my favorite shot. My second favorite shot.
One of the only sort of fully, like, CG...
But this is the one
but
that does
to.
Not bother me.
You had to, because it doesn't exist.
No, this one does not bother me. This one is beautiful.
I mean, dust storms. I've been in dust storms. They don't look like that.
That'd be funny.
It
if
just
you're
gets
like,
dark.
I've been there.
I've been there.
You can see the lights there. I think on the.
You can see how big Nathan Joff. How fucking big he is.
Yeah, he's a strong man.
Like compared to anyone.
There we go. This is
there
the
is.
One I like.
You love the shot.
I really do. It's so mythic, man. It just reminds you that although you're grounded and gritty and having a nice little battle with spears and shit, this is mythic, grand mythic storytelling. And also, a lot of filmmakers won't do this because I feel like maybe it's too expensive or something, but to give you that wide master of understanding where everything is in relation to everything else is so necessary for me. Like, I hate...
That was Fang It, by the way. That was Slit.
My
yelling,
great failure of the podcast.
My
great.
Sorry, I have to recall your great failures.
That was a real fail on my part, guys. I'm sorry, but understandable, I think.
But you know, and great stories.
Ooh, great, that's our first big blood splatter.
Yeah.
I also love the parts that fly off constantly. The idea that there's just this, they're constantly repairing shit that's falling apart. And the use of fire in this world is real good.
Fire and blood. You just brought up both in the last 30 seconds.
God, I feel that way about it. I feel fiery and bloody.
Yeah.
The evolution of the cars, though, I think is something we sort of intuited, and then and that became a running theme of the podcast for us.
Yeah.
And proved to be right after talking to the creators, which makes me happy. Yeah. See the on the front of the
something here. See this magnetic this that's you know that's never brought up in any of the talk that I've heard. You know, in the Art of Mad Max, all this stuff they talk about the storm and the toxicity of the storm. But nobody ever brings up the magnetic element, which I thought is clearly shown right there.
Yeah, that's why they put that in, I would say.
Yeah, and that why it can totally just
suck
cars up into, or motorcycles.
Woohoo!
Wow, right into the camera.
On a side
great
note.
Everything.
Everything's a poster.
Everything's a poster.
Oh, Slit, you dummy.
You know, but he...
He is a real jerk, though.
Yeah.
And this
is where the boot gag begins.
Yep.
God, what a great... that's another thing that keeps the action and the chase going in a way that engages you. Who else thinks of adding stuff like that you can, you know, call back and repeat and, you know, set up and pay off?
He's like, this hasn't packed enough with things. Let's add more things. Also, subtle detail we never discussed, it does make sense no one wears socks in this world because there's no way to wash them. And boy, socks get crusty if you don't wash them regularly.
Reminding
everyone out there to wash your socks, please.
Right. This is basically a big public service announcement.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I was like, boy, Tom Hardy's not wearing socks. What an asshole. But that makes a lot of sense.
Nicholas Holt. You know, watching this movie just makes me, if I ever see Nicholas Holt, I'm just going to go up and just shake his hand.
You're going to V8
him. I'm just going to walk
away.
You're
going to V8 him, you asshole. You know you are.
I totally am.
You're going to V8 that guy.
And he's not even going to remember what that's from.
No, he's going to say, are you doing a beast thing? Is this, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're not the Prince of Persia.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Poor guy. I am also happy that we got to talk to we didn't know this going in, I don't think, but talking to the guy who created the arm.
Yeah, Matt Bow.
Ended up being a really, really interesting thing. This shot, motherfucker.
And just the idea of design and scavenging parts and the designers having to scavenge parts like they were living in that world is a great story.
Yeah.
You sure you don't want any of this bourbon?
I'm sure so far. Sure so far.
All right. I'm going to... For those of you, it's a small batch 1792 bourbon. It was either that or the Bibb and Tucker, two of my sort of current favorites. So if you'd like to drink along... we didn't do that. We didn't do a drinking game. We've gone 52 episodes?
Yeah.
And we never came up with a drinking game?
What are we doing?
For Fury Road?
I feel like we've made a lot of mistakes. We should start over.
Okay, starting over.
Episode one.
I mean, it's almost too easy, I guess.
Yeah.
Anytime someone yells witness, drink.
Yeah.
Anytime Tom Hardy's handsome, drink.
Anytime
you see fire, drink.
I'm already drunk now, that's it.
Anytime the boot comes up, anytime people chrome themselves, drink.
I love this, that he's... This is clearly something also Nux has planned. He has waited to do this. He knew exactly how to pull the things. He knew exactly what the shot was. He didn't really think it through that much. He's like, cool, this is where I do this thing I've dreamt about for forever.
Yeah.
I'm gonna now destroy everything.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Flare.
It also happens so fucking fast. They're not... Like another filmmaker would have made a meal out of this stupid scene and, like, made it a 10-minute sequence.
Yep.
It's just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I don't feel that George Miller holds anything back for later. He's like, this is a great idea, just use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this could be bigger than we have. No, we'll just think of something bigger later.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry, there'll be something.
He trusts his ideas.
He trusts his ideas, and yeah, that's exactly right.
He does.
There's trust.
And I love this. Our shot.
Don't know, yeah, it's a mountain. It's a mountain. It's a dune. It's a, what is that? Yeah. What are we looking at? It's
you can't tell the perspective.
It's a slumbering beast is what it is.
Ooh, a slumbering beast. I prefer to have a clan called Slumbering Beast as opposed to Nurse Tiger.
Nurse Tiger? Okay. You can be Slumbering Beast.
I'm still jealous of Diaper Panther.
Wow.
This is slow mode. And that's really cool.
That's so good.
To go actually from high speed ramped up chases to a slow mo lift your head scene.
Well, yeah, this is the first pause that we get.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be hard. I mean, thankfully we've covered the sound design on the podcast a lot, because it's so hard to not be hearing. It's such a huge part of the movie. Oh, by the way, that bracelet that he's got on, paracord, whatever.
Yeah.
Is in the game.
What?
He's got it in the game design. So there's...
See, there... I love... But this is part and parcel of Mad Max, is this car got real wrecked.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no...
Yeah. Is that just like the machines and the way it was designed on set or in the pre-production, they said, here's the initial ideas, now go.
Yeah.
Go your separate ways, do your thing.
Yeah.
And I love the way... I mean, the game developed as a game should, with crazy bigger characters and bigger makeup and, you know, all that shit.
The survival and the brutality and the animalistic behavior of Max in this scene as he escalates that he's just got to get off this guy. And if he can't pull it off, he's just going to shoot his wrist off. And if he can't shoot his wrist off, he's just going to bite his thumb off to get it to... Is another thing that just made me just fall in love with this movie to a different level. I'm like, they're not... This is exactly right. This is exactly... But he can't get to it because of the...
The pragmatism of this is really, really, really smart.
Yeah. The commitment to character in the world.
That lock also seems like it's a repurposed lock, like it's a door lock or something.
Boot. We continue the boot.
Yep. This is where the Mark Mangini said that they are coming up, the segue from the pounding of that thing.
Yeah, into the drums.
Into the drums.
Her beating on that and it being drums.
Also, shout out, watching this as a silent film, shout out to one of our first guests, Kaylin Egan, for pointing out this silent film crossover.
Yeah, this Buster Keaton.
Which proved
to be
accurate, we learned as time went on.
Mm-hmm. He's smart.
So
he's
let me ask you a question, Yuri.
Yes, I would fuck Tom Hardy.
Yep.
Different. Oh, shit, was that not the question?
No, it was. It was. But okay, I have another question.
Okay, what's your other question?
This is the scene we get the most pushback on and have gotten the most pushback on. Do you feel resolved that we've covered this in a way that's equitable?
Yeah, I think so. I think anybody who thinks that this is gratuitous and misogynistic or exploitative is wrong.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a sense of a trailer moment or eye candy or any of that here?
I think you can use it as that, but I think it's... It's just as much as almost any other frame of this film.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pull almost anything. Yeah.
I love that George goes, I think we need another wife.
Yeah.
Remember that? Right. Who was that? Greg Van Borsum?
So.
I think we need another wife. Or Mark Sexton said that, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And they each represent certain things, apparently. You know, once again, reading the art of Mad Max, they're each represent... There's the leader. There's the quiet one, the knowledgeable one, the naive one.
Yeah.
They've all got sort of a focus.
Yeah. And these actresses have all gone on to pretty good careers, it seems like, right?
Yeah, I've not seen Rose, who's the splendid Angara, in anything recently, but yeah, I mean, I think I've seen every other wife in movies since this.
Yeah. Good career maker. So people that say they weren't used properly, well, the industry disagrees. I love that we still have a chip on our shoulder about this. Obviously, our listeners are into the film. We don't have to keep defending it to people.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I'm so annoyed. Whenever I love something and I think it's, completely defensively great and people don't like it, I get agitated.
I do, too. With every movie. You know, with most movies, if somebody didn't like the movie that I liked, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's fine. You know, everybody's... But people... who actively don't like this movie, I have a difficult time.
Yeah, 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 same. I just don't get it. I don't...
Also, P.S., people want us to talk about Rogue One and some... Maybe we'll have talked about it on the episode, on the last episode.
Maybe we can dig into that a little bit.
Or maybe we'll do an extra one.
But man, what a thing to end our Mad Max Fury Road podcast trashing Star Wars again, or possibly defending Star Wars.
Right, depending, Rogue One versus what happens. Force Awakens. Yeah, exactly.
This is so smart right here, I think.
Yeah, all of it makes sense.
She's like a tiger just waiting for a moment.
She's coiled.
Bow!
Waiting for a moment. Sees it.
And she really, that's really her taking them down there, right?
Yeah, this is, I would, based on the conversations we've had, most of what you see here in this fight is Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron.
I love Theron. I love the idea, by the way, of starting a fight with putting a gun to his head and pulling the trigger, because that sets the stakes of the fight instantly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many fights do you know that start that way? It's a really smart way of just, oh, God,
also,
damn, this is brutal.
Also, the whole time the Carmada is in the background, like, I mean, they don't have time to fuck around. Like, they're all going to die.
This fight is awesome. It's so brutal. It's so brutal. And here's Nux back again. Great.
Right. Nux coming back from the dead.
Which we're
as it were. Keeping the chain alive the whole time.
That chain moment really feels like the silent movies, Three Stooges, Buster Keaton-y thing.
Yeah.
It's just
really
well choreographed. Yeah. All the pieces are moving, all the things, all the objects are going. Really great.
He growls at the they just back right off.
Yeah. Which Greg Van Borsum said he got pushback on.
Yeah.
But I buy his explanation. That's how that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
So close.
You ever had a gun fired that close to your head?
Only in movies, and they were half loads.
Right.
And the guy on set who should have said, hey, do you want ear protection? And I didn't know any better.
Oh shit.
And it is loud. And those were just half loads. So it was about half as loud, I guess, as it would normally be.
There's that ramped up speed thing there where they're reaching for the hose. And
yep.
I mean, now they've
and
used
that arcing
everything.
Water that's...
Yeah. Here it is.
Every frame of painting, as they say.
Just a great choreographed scene. Really, 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 really fucking great. Every item out there was used at some point. The chain, the hose, the water, the gun.
You just call them hose?
The hose. You know, them hoes.
Them hoes.
Superman, them hoes. I really didn't think Soulja Boy would come up in this podcast commentary, but...
You know, but that's the beauty of this show. Is that you never know what's going to happen.
From Descartes to Soulja Boy, join us next week.
Join us next week.
Yeah.
Or not join us next week.
Yeah, yeah.
But hopefully join us sometime in the future.
Yeah. We'll do we almost did a philosophy episode as suggested by
and
one of our listeners,
also,
Elliot Reedman. So thank you for that, Elliot. Sorry we couldn't get around to doing it. But
I will probably force you to watch movies in the future that I feel
he just punches
have
him
been...
in his stomach and knocks him down. Wait, before you hold on.
Let's go to that.
But the idea that he could have punched him in the face and knocked him out, but he just emasculates this poor kid.
Well,
punch him in the stomach.
And here's the thing, and I don't know if Greg Van Borsum talked about it or if it's just something that I've picked up along the way. Punching somebody in the face is one of the worst moves you can do because A, there are a lot of sharp bones in the face.
Yeah,
you could hurt
your hand. Yeah.
And teeth. If you punch somebody in the teeth and it cuts your hand, and then you could get infected.
Yeah.
So
MRSA.
It is also MRSA. There you go. But so it is also strategic. You know, again, tactically.
Yeah.
This movie is smart. He punches them in the stomach.
Love that. Love that.
Also, you're right. It's completely humiliating for poor Nux.
Just very emasculating.
But I may in the future make you watch other movies that I feel have the same DNA as this, or were influenced by the Road Warrior films.
Listen, any excuse to get together and watch movies and hang out with you.
That's basically what I'm getting at.
It's pretty good to me.
And then we'll drop another little episode.
Maybe we'll drop some knowledge on you, motherfucker.
Motherfucker! Dropping science.
The idea that like we're just talking about bullshit and that's equivocates to dropping knowledge is comically amazing to me.
It is knowledge of a sort. It is things that they didn't know before.
Tom Hardy's desperate face is pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's just
mad.
He's button mashing. He's just like, ugh.
Yeah. He drives that car like I play Street Fighter.
Exactly. He drives that car like I play most video games these days.
That's right. Oh,
he looks so when he mashes and it just stops and he knows what's happened.
Yeah.
He's so sad.
Yeah.
He's like, ugh.
Oh, you got me. There's Zoe Kravitz doing her concerned face.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Sure. Well.
Have you seen Dope since we talked about Zoe Kravitz and Dope?
Mm-mm.
You would like that movie.
I don't know. Is Zoe Kravitz in it?
Yep.
So.
I'm just saying.
Not a huge selling point to me.
I'm Just say it.
I think, like any good podcast, we developed inside jokes, we had heroes, and we had villains.
Exactly. And we've got to have conflict, because without conflict...
Well, we don't conflict about Zoe Kravitz.
That's true. I push back lightly just because I'm so nice.
Because you're nice, yeah. You're not doing it because you think I'm wrong. You're doing it because you think we shouldn't say it politically.
I think the more I drink, the less I'm going to push back here.
Let me pour another. We're going to get real trashy on the Kravs. The Kravs is going to get trashed on this one. That's going to be nice. Do you remember...
Probably not.
Our second guests, Frangela.
Frangela, yes. We'll get
to the white meat. That seems actually fairly recent.
I only use that in conversation with you, because I don't think anybody else will.
It doesn't feel appropriate.
It doesn't feel appropriate.
I'll be honest. I love that she has a fucking metal file there.
Yeah.
But they had some nice things to say about the feminine aspects of the film. They got pushed back on by Kelsey.
Kelsey also had some nice things to say.
Yeah.
She did not.
Well, she didn't like the film. She asked me the other day.
Oh, she did?
I talked to them occasionally. She goes, was that Gas Town? No, that's Carmona coming. Yep. Poor Knox.
Poor Knox.
One boot now.
No boot. One boot Knox is what we call him.
She said, please tell me you're not still doing the Mad Max podcast. And I said, we are still not through the film yet.
Oh, my God.
Because we kept having special guests come on. And she's like, okay, cool.
All right.
Cool, bro, cool.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you think that's what was the thought in her head?
She was probably thinking that. Disdain.
Okay.
It was what this is a great shot. The classic comedy shot. You love this one where he's chasing after the...
In the long shot. Yeah.
I remember shots that you like from this.
Believe it or not, I know some of them happened a long time ago.
You love this shot.
Somebody's selling that bag on eBay right now. Somebody's like, I have a weathered leather go bag.
Mark Bow. You stole some
Matt
stuff.
Matt Bow. Yeah, I bet he's got to have taken. Or do you think, no, Australians are the polite ones. Canadians are the polite ones.
That's right.
He probably took whatever he wanted.
Every other character seems to have an internal life here, but Zoe Kravitz looks like she's on the Xanax. She's just thinking about something
else.
What
bone do you think? Where do you think she got that bone that's on the end of her knife? That's the gear shift.
Oh, great question.
You think it's somebody that she killed?
I don't think it's... It looks like a bird skull or something to me.
No, that's on her... On the wizard, but, like, on her gear shift is like a hip bone. The end of a femur.
Oh, my God.
Human femur. Look at it. Right there.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder how many people she's killed. Probably a shit ton, man. That's why she needs redemption.
Right?
She's also very, very chill about what's about to happen.
Yeah, that's... Well, because she's just... She's badass.
Hands off the merchandise. Whatever.
All the long lookers.
Yeah, I love that. Wow. Are they called that in this film or just the video game?
No, just in the video game. That's a chum bucket. Yeah. Chum bucketism.
Yeah.
I love that they keep... That they show you the polecats, but they don't pan up, so you don't get the full... You just don't... this movie is so finely crafted. It hurts my brain. He's just gnawing away at these,
They also seed that properly.
There's the immediate threat, and then just get right back to getting this fucking thing off my head.
Yeah. He needs to be more functional.
I love that he can just leave it in there, and his hand's free.
Yeah. It's like a pick in a afro.
Yeah. It says afro pick.
Yeah. I do love that. Oh, see, this is where they first become a team, I would posit.
Yep. Because he trusts her to...
Yeah. They seed that iron file, really, or metal file, right, though. You see him doing it enough to think, he probably would have gotten through in that time. And again...
Mm-hmm.
Classic show the weapon moment, but again, I would argue.
And now I'm going to put my jacket back on. Now I'm Max again.
We never figured out that arm thing, do we?
The shoulder pad.
Yeah, I know we keep coming back.
People have different theories on it.
Yeah, so we haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
Kind of wish we would have figured out everything. And you think in a year?
That's the beauty. We're going to walk away from this film having dissected it and studied it and loved it like love making love. Like we loved this film up and down. For a year.
We got inside of it. We got moved around.
We got all up in this film.
For 52 weeks in a row, we showed up.
We showed up. We had our refractory period for a week.
We came again.
We came again.
Yep.
I, I, I come, I die, I come again. No, wait, Jesus. I fuck again.
That is the bourbon speaking.
It's the bourbon speaking, it totally is.
Yuri's not necessarily a lascivious sexual talker. It's more my forte.
Which is why it's so awkward.
My forte. But when Yuri does, it's so delightful.
And then this, look, relaxed. Freedom. Freedom.
That's the smiliest he gets, really.
Right, until he gives a thumbs up.
Yeah. This is great. The most ineffective war boy ever.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good driver.
Again,
and that's about it.
Again, every character in that scene was doing something interesting except for Zoe Kravitz. She was staring off into the distance like she was thinking of something else. And when she has a line, she gets involved. But then that's it. Oh, Max coming
in. What do you think? There is an alternate reality where every director pays as much attention to every element of the film as George Miller.
Yeah.
And that is a glorious world to live in.
I also want to point out that we did not talk about this last time, but when Max comes back with the gun, ostensibly to save Furiosa, the wives have already done it.
Right.
Which is really great. And
right.
That's an argument against the anti-feminine argument that we get. But
right, but he doesn't come back to save her, you're right.
Yeah, he tries to. He tries to come back to be the guy with the gun who saves the day.
But they've already done it without any guns.
Exactly.
Which have multiple messages.
Then who killed the world, Yuri?
And who killed the world?
What
somebody with two boots killed the world. I'll tell you what. Look at all this stuff on it. This is a good shot of his pants. His
JNCOs.
Yeah. He's got a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, it's just functional stuff, I think. He's got the red flag hanging off the backside, so he's blood.
So he's a blood, or depending on what pocket is it, he's either a giver or a taker.
Yeah.
And he likes it rough.
Your
I don't
gang
know.
Knowledge is deep.
No, that was gay pickup knowledge.
Oh, Yuri, I
just ruined it, didn't I? I could have
cool.
left it at gang knowledge, and yeah, you would have thought I was a badass.
I was impressed, but I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah.
My gay pickup knowledge not as strong. We've learned. What percent of the lines
we've
in this film?
We've all got
film,
our strengths.
Right.
What percent of what?
I'll do gang knowledge. You do gay pickup knowledge.
Okay. Fair enough.
What percentage of the lines in this film could you say? Do you think? Accurately.
I would say maybe 50%, 60%.
That feels
maybe?
Right. That feels right to me.
Yeah.
I would say for myself probably 30.
Okay.
But you've always been a little better about that than me.
This is not one. You know, when I was back in college, I used to. For the movies that I liked the most, I would record the audio track onto cassettes, and I would play, that's how old I am, and I would play them when I was in the car, because we didn't have podcasts back then.
Yeah.
And certain movies are good to do that, but I don't think this would be a good movie for that, because there's so little dialogue. Like, Reservoir Dogs was good for that. Raising Arizona was good for that, but this would not be good for that.
Man, I love that shot. You get everything in one shot.
Yeah.
It's all three Carmadas. You understand the relationship.
Yeah.
You understand there's a standardized attack strategy, which is that flying V.
Yeah,
you see the war rig.
The stakes are never in question.
You got the Jamaican motor goats.
The threat
coming.
Is never in question.
Mm-mm. What do they call it? Rock riders.
Jamaican motor goats is so much better.
Far superior. Do you think
the Jamuskin Raiders was another
Jamuskin
one we came up with?
Jamuskin Raiders is very good. Do you
it's a crossover to you know the good Star Wars.
Yeah, right. Should they have consulted us for this film?
Yes.
Agreed.
Considering when they started work on this film, you and I didn't even know each other.
True.
Doesn't even matter.
No.
Think of that. We could have met 15, 16 years ago.
Life would have been much better.
Right?
Instead of I would probably have a real career if that had happened.
You do have a real career.
Real successful person.
Let me just put it this way. You and I are two guys living in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Who have the spare time to drink on a Saturday morning and not have to work.
True. That's just because...
But you could also describe two desperate, out-of-work Hollywood
people. A lot
people
of my friends have lots of free time. I would also... Maybe you're just being an absent father. It's also something to consider.
Oh, my God, I've got a kid. I totally forgot.
Oh, no.
Mad Max Fury Road. It makes you forget your troubles.
Yeah, right.
Troubles. Have you seen that kid? He is the opposite of a trouble.
He's a beautiful
man,
monster.
As soon as he gets old enough for me to paint up like a little war pup...
You're going to do it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when my wife is going to file a divorce paper.
She'll be the first one to do it, I suspect. She's all right. That's a great shot.
Yeah.
I love, too, that this is, again, we have a little sense of, even though we haven't had a dramatic action sequence since the opening chase scene, the tension has not let up. There's a consistent sense of, like, oh, some shit's about to go down.
Mm-hmm. That's the first really good shot of her arm.
I think Matt Ball's right. I think they came to a really clever decision on that arm. It's high-tech enough to feel badass,
uh-huh.
But low-tech enough to feel like
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Spare parts. They made this thing.
Yeah. That she, yeah.
I was also,
do you think she built it or the organic mechanic built it for her?
I think
her?
Someone helped her build it, yeah. I don't think the organic mechanic. I think one of the car mechanics or something.
Oh, right, because the organic mechanic.
I love that he actually conceded as like, yeah, it works by magic, which is what I've always been wondering about.
Right.
Yeah, like, well, how's this thing work? There's no there's no nerves attached to this? Or how's it? No, it's magic. Cool.
You know, as I understand it, Charlize Theron, they didn't ask her to shave her head like that. She just sort of went ahead and did it, and they're like, okay, we cast the right person.
Really?
Yeah. The more I read about it, her commitment to this role. Now, I have not, arguably, those are clearly ski goggles, by the way.
Yeah.
I used to own those exact goggles.
Huh.
I've never read a lot about her, you know, in other roles. Clearly, she's played a lot of roles that she's won lots of deserved acclaim for. But I have read, for obvious reasons, a lot about this. And her commitment to this, to this role and working on this role is, coming from a standpoint of an actor talking about another actor, is inspiring.
That's great.
Now, also, it must be nice to get nice to get paid enough for a role that you can just sort of just commit to that and nothing else in your life.
Yeah, that's the thing. With these bigger roles, if you have
God,
a year or two.
That fucking explosion. That's
right.
I don't know if that's gotta be CG, but it looks real. It's real.
Practical.
It's gotta be real.
Yeah, that felt practical to me.
Everything in this
movie.
What
do I know though? What do I know about it? It feels pretty real. They're a team now.
They're a team, yeah.
Officially.
He just handed her a gun.
Yep. They're in this together. This is a really, really clever way of just going. I mean, think about it.
Introduction to the Bullet Farmer. But yes, yeah. go
in
ahead.
In 20 minutes, we've gone from literally trying to kill each other to being teammates. Yeah. And it feels completely natural.
Yeah.
A little bit more of the Polecats there.
It's just a tease.
Lookouts.
And then just this.
They basically seem like they're lookouts at this point.
Yeah.
Get out there and see what's up.
Right, because they're not going back and forth. So they're not letting that go just yet. And this is the jun of the as they
the
pause,
doof.
But it's the idol,
the doof.
Yeah, and you look at Immortan Joe from that distance, which probably most people will never get that close to him, and he's fucking intimidating as hell. Oh, of course,
yeah,
and Slit.
The boot.
I've got his boot. Follow the shoe.
this
is the shoe, the Messiah's shoe.
That outfit of bullets is really great. Was that Greg Van Borsen? Yes, right.
In the back of...
Where is he?
I think he might be one of those guys in the back of... I think he was one of the Bullet Farmer's right-hand man.
I think he is. He's the Imperator.
He's a lot of...
The Imperator.
But he's the Ripsaw Imperator.
Yeah.
Which I think is a totally different guy.
No.
I think he played many more people in this film than he is credited for.
Oh, Greg Van Borsen.
He's like a Swiss Army knife of filmmaking.
He's a real man. You want a tough guy? Greg, get in here and do this again. That's an awesome guy.
I want that on my wall.
His hair's not badass. His hair's flowy.
I don't know, man. It's terrifying.
He's got flowy hair, though.
You got to admit, we got to meet a lot of cool people doing this podcast.
That's true. So good. Unexpected. Like, I think we can say that this podcast was a bigger success than we expected it to be.
Oh, then, yeah.
More than you and I listened to it, which is cool.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we got to talk to people who made the film, which was above and beyond.
And we got to connect with a community who also loves this film.
That's actually the best thing to come of it. We made some good new friends, Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wish you could ride a motorcycle like that?
I do.
I really do.
I wish I could ride a motorcycle better than I can.
Yeah.
I'm a remedial motorcycle rider. Like, I can start a motorcycle and ride, but I'm not well practiced. And I have a motorcycle license.
Same. I also do. Oh, there's that breathing.
If you have not gotten to at this point that the war rig is a living, breathing character,
mm-hmm.
at that point, literally breathing.
Yeah, it was dying and they saved it.
Yep.
Oh, gee, another fucking round of crazy action coming up right here.
God, this stuff is... And they didn't hire stunt riders. They hired guys who were professional, like, aggro BMX... No, not BMX, but motocross
actual riders.
Riders, yeah, who do tricks and stuff.
Great. Great. It's the right cast.
Just like for the Polecats, they hired, like, circus performers.
Yeah, it's all the right people. And think about it. I mean, if the bike is their livelihood and the way they get around, they ride them every day, 8 hours a day. They're going
to
be great.
I did a film where I was supposed to ride like this,
yeah.
And they had a guy from Metal Militia who was my stunt rider and was super cool and made me look awesome.
That's great. You should link to that.
I could possibly link to that. Yeah, the film is The Phoenix Incident. For those of you who want to watch it, it's
you know what we forgot to do on this podcast?
Yes.
We've asked every guest to plug stuff. We've never plugged things. So I want to remind myself to plug.
Okay,
I have something to plug.
We'll plug later.
Yeah. That's just the thing
stick to the commentary, dude.
No, but I would have forgotten if I didn't
remind. Okay, right. Okay, we'll plug
so later.
Stuff. Right, yeah. Later, which you actually have already listened to probably by now.
All right.
Because I have to save that. We have to save the record for that later.
Yeah, you're right. But I don't want to forget. I'm terrible.
No, okay.
I'm terrible about that.
I'll try to remind you.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that.
He's so angry. Nathan Jones loves fire.
The wives.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
wives, yeah. Rictus.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys.
Oh, right. The reason we're out here.
Yeah. Here we go. What is that
control.
Thing? What is that thing on the door? That metal bowl.
The metal on that door?
Yeah. See it?
I don't know.
It's like a big metal bowl. Oh, double shot. See it? Right there. Like a gourd. It's like a metal gourd.
I had never noticed that before.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's so funny that the fire is only there to make Rictus... It doesn't play. It's only to make Rictus look silly.
Yeah, right. Silly and, yeah.
Like, here we go, guys. I'm going to light it up. Like, Rictus, we're literally here to get the wives.
Right.
You're going to set them on fire. Okay. That's that whole plot point. Oh, my God. This is the best moment of Nux's life, followed by the worst.
Yeah.
No one does wide-eyed optimism like Nicholas Holt. Like, look at him. He's so endearing.
It's true.
Oh!
And he does it again in that zombie movie, that Warm Bodies that he's in. He's so good in that.
Mm.
Talk about an actor who can communicate without dialogue. He's that guy.
This is great.
You want him to... Nicholas Holt.
Even though, like, if he succeeds, he kills our leads, you kind of want
him to succeed.
Are there any other movies that do that? Where you're, like, rooting for both sides equally?
Gotta be, but...
Oh, not,
nobody does. Gun right into camera.
Mediocre. Ugh. So embarrassing for him.
I know, but so... So beautiful.
And, look, I'm more than Joseph. I'll handle it.
Like who jumps a truck? Like, the trucks are not made to... That
no.
Truck
and
like
no
that
one
with
falls
that
off.
High of a wheelbase? It's
great
ridiculous.
Suspension. Great suspension. But again, sorts it, handles it.
And dangerous.
Oh, here comes that harpoon.
Right.
Oh, well handled. I forget a lot about... Oh, that's such a great, great look. Slanger.
Harpoon.
Amazing shot.
Yeah.
Just incredible shot.
Rictus.
That's the thing about this world, is that everyone's goddamn competent, for the most part, except for Nux.
Right. But like, that's the beauty of Nux.
It's not a bunch of stormtroopers missing all their shots. It's like competent people... Doing badass stuff, and then that makes our heroes look even better.
Yeah,
because they have to constantly
using. I mean, that's thinking
shit.
Right there. That she would use that wrench.
Sneaks behind. Great.
And this is one of my favorite moments of the film. Favorite moments of the film coming up. Right.
She's pretty badass. Hey, she's like, yeah, that girl's all right.
Here.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
So
nice work.
Like that was. That was not scripted.
No.
That was not scripted. That was you know that was Tom Hardy. Oh, and then
under
she,
the wheels.
She went under the wheels. She went under the wheels.
Did you the first time you saw this understand that she slipped on the blood on her foot?
No.
I never did till I didn't clock until they told us that.
Right. Yeah. So it was Max's fault. Another person has died because of you, and now you've got to see, and they point to it right there.
He's like that, yeah.
That
so
was my
knows.
Fault.
Yeah.
That was my fault.
Yeah. I could have saved her and I didn't.
Yeah.
Not shooting her.
Yeah, right. I could have saved her by not shooting her.
Yeah.
It's that kind of world. She went under the wheels.
Your Tom Hardy impression has gotten better.
You think so?
I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. Look who's not doing a good job.
Oh, no. Because he's coming back.
I'm not. Oh, I love
the
that.
The blood on his teeth.
Face.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good face.
Rictus just firing. You got to think that in the wasteland, bullets... Well, I guess I got the bullet for him, but still.
Yeah, but still.
It's still worth.
Fire and bullets. He just doesn't care. I mean, if Rictus was my son, I'd be very disappointed in him.
Perfect in every way.
Perfect. Perfect in every way. Except for every other way.
Except for every way.
Except for most ways.
Right, except for the strength thing.
The tattoos on the Dag's hands.
She's so great.
Perfectly weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never talked about the tattoos on her hands. I wonder, does she have other tattoos or body
marks? One of those a peace symbol?
Yeah, I thought something like that.
That would make sense. Yeah. Once again, in line with...
Miss Giddy's showing her what's up.
Yeah.
This is good.
So it's right?
What was her name again?
Cheeto the Fragile.
Cheeto the Fragile. That's the word I forgot. Great.
You know, in some ways, when the names are so on the nose, it's perfect.
Yeah, I don't mind it sometimes. That's fucking badass.
Yeah.
They keep establishing Charlize Theron as just a legit badass.
Yeah. And they establish that she's the really good shot.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. I also love the idea of putting them in white like this is almost like she's a jilted bride, which is what she is, in effect. Yeah. But she's got her running makeup.
Also, I know, you love this. And you found for good reason.
Yeah.
In the Art of Mad Max, Cheeto is also the only virgin of the lot.
Oh, so Immortan Joe hasn't done
this. So Immortan Joe has been saving her, and that's probably part of the reason that she
goes back. She doesn't understand.
She doesn't understand the
interesting.
Horror.
Interesting.
To the same degree.
Interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Her smeared lipstick, though, is such a good touch there.
Yeah, kind of the dag all huddled up in the corner like that. When you're that skinny, you can pull your knees that close to your body. And
I bet you can do that. Try it.
I bet I couldn't.
Try it right now.
Nope.
Yuri.
Nope.
Are you worried you're too chubby?
Oh, I'm totally too chubby.
Oh, man.
The last several months, it's been holidays and baby, and I've been sick. And...
Baby holidays. Sick baby holidays.
Sick baby holidays.
Sometimes sickness makes you lose weight, though.
Not for me.
Okay, fair enough. Comfort food, nothing but comfort food.
Yeah, nothing but...
That's a great
and,
shot,
and
too.
No,
I love that they amped the color of her hair. Like, that's not a real red.
No.
But it's really perfect.
Also, the actress is blonde in real life.
Is she?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
It's Riley a really good red. Riley Keough.
Keough.
Yeah. Irish, did we decide?
I don't know. Sounds Irish.
Oh, here we go.
The big romance of the film. This if you don't just, count Furiosa and Max.
No, I would. This is it. I love that there's a mothering instinct here that's combined with sort of a... I probably haven't had access to a man that wasn't a Immortan Joe my whole life, but...
Yeah.
There's this, like, sense of, I'm going to take care of you.
And in this interaction, he's the emotional one and she's the rock.
Good call.
Which is never, I've never really sort of... She's the one who's calm and collected, and he's the one who's slipping out, and which is usually the roles are reversed from a sexuality standpoint.
No, you're right.
From a gender standpoint.
He has the most
Larry
badass scars, too.
I know. And Larry and Barry.
Which we found out were finger hand puppets, originally, in the first
you
know, 10 drafts of the film.
Right, yeah.
Got cut, and it came back up.
It came back as,
I love things that are inside jokes that also work without knowing the joke.
Yeah.
Like, that works regardless. It's a funny idea. It's a cool idea. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's these child warrior guys who are obviously mentally deficient in certain ways. They have no education. They're just getting by.
Mm-hmm.
But they serve as warriors. She's got finger tattoos, too.
Yep. And that great scar on his nose.
Yeah, it's good.
She has goggles. Nice, we used to call her goggles, didn't we?
We did.
Goggles comment for Rogue One. I felt bad for Riz that he had to wear those goggles that clearly
didn't
do anything and that he never needed.
Yeah.
But just were there to identify him as the guy.
Yeah, and they were on Dust Worlds a bunch. He never got to use them in the Dust Worlds.
Yeah, they were always up.
They literally went into a dust storm. Still up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rogue One.
Yeah.
For screwing it up. Oh, here comes the day for night.
That's right. So we enter a different part of the film here.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. This is also part of our podcast when I... Look who can't even sleep believably. Jesus. God.
Now it's your goal to just every time she comes on screen to...
That's one of my favorite shots right there, because it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
As Joe Lynch... I'm sorry that we didn't get Joe Lynch back to help finish out... The show for us, he was unavailable, but...
He's very busy.
He wanted to.
He's very busy,
He wanted
guys.
To. He loves
Just tweet at him and he'll give
he
you
loves,
some knowledge.
He loves the movie. Yeah, tweet at
him. He'll drop some knowledge.
And watch his show.
Look, and there's the lighting. That's it.
Yeah,
the Duke Warrior lit up. When we discovered, or were told, I should say, mm-hmm. that...
Let's be honest. We didn't discover anything on our own.
You're right.
No, we did. We did. This whole...
Name the best thing we discovered on our own.
I'm going to have to think about that.
Okay. That's what I thought. but when we were told that coming up here, the Stiltwalkers were the old Vovellini who were in the Green Place, who sort of like left behind.
Yeah.
Love that.
And that for a while they may have had helicopter packs.
Yeah. I still kind of want.
Also in the Art of Mad Max.
Yeah. There he is.
He's all lit up by those park hands. You're absolutely right.
Yep. I love that. They must have raided theaters, local theaters, to take these things.
And Iota apparently says this is the worst guitar I've ever had to play.
Yeah. But F
fuck
him.
That guy.
F him because it's also the coolest guitar he's ever had to play.
Yeah.
Do you...
Yes, I do. Whatever it is, I do.
Do you think... Oh, I love the nipple
rings. I know.
Do you think a lot of these characters have names and backstories that just aren't explored?
I would argue that, and this is something I cannot prove, that every single person you see on screen has a backstory that George Miller's probably thought about a year on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That guy who just jumped off and rolled and fell,
that
guy's got a backstory.
That's Billy.
Yeah, right. This Billy. Guy with the mask, who's probably Craig Van Morrison, is also got a backstory.
So gross. So gross. This is the thing that grosses me out. I love the idea, though, that medicine has regressed, and not just the technology, because they don't have access to, like, radiation machines and, like, x-rays and stuff, but the actual... the actual medicine has regressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't have all the machines and the drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't, they've lost the concept of sterilization.
Right.
Because
right.
you hold a fucking.
Or everything else is so much more deadly that they're like, infection, whatever. I mean, there's so many worse things out there.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you, like, hold a fire up to the knife and sterilize it?
Because she's dying. And he knows that.
But you, well, maybe.
Yeah. God, the tattoos to put on Ms. Giddy must have taken 10 hours.
Ugh, a day. This guy is so gross. This is the grossest scene in the movie to me.
He just and I love that it's just out of frame. I love that. Because it's never, because they could have showed it, but it's never as horrible as what's in your head.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, Nathan Jones, Rictus Erectus's rubber mask.
I had a baby brother!
It's perfect.
It was perfect! Perfect in every way!
His rubber mask is not connected to those air tubes.
I was just looking at that, too.
They're not connected. So why is he doing it?
Because it still helps to hold the air tubes in place with him while moving around. I'm looking at it from a practical standpoint, from a filmmaking standpoint.
But do they go under the mask at any point?
No, but maybe... No.
Negated.
Negated.
Every time there's an obstacle, they have a good
car. But then immediately distracted by something as cool as that.
Yeah. But there must be... You know there's a practical reason for it, because someone asked that question. But, like... What is it?
The idea that somebody out there built all these vehicles
is so...
It just makes me so happy.
Out of control to me, because I am incapable of building a Lego set. This is impressive to think about. I love that Capable's like, it's okay, it's a war boy driving it, it's cool.
Right.
What? No.
But and that great comedy moment of all of a sudden the war rig takes off and he looks at her and she looks at him and she's like, wait, who's driving the truck?
Yeah, what's happening? Oh,
the tree, dag. The single solitude. Oh, yeah.
Dag. Is that a curious vexation?
Mm-hmm.
Is that line?
Uh-huh. Or a furious vexation? Curious vexation?
Furious.
I don't know. Everything is fury.
No,
out here.
You're right. Fury.
And that single, that's the first tree we've seen in the movie, isn't it? It's the only tree you see.
Yeah, you're right. And it's dead.
Well,
we may see some with the Stiltwalkers later, right? We see some trees there?
Maybe.
I feel like we do.
We'll find out soon enough. God, in this moment, she's, and for some reason, she respects him. She's willing to give it up, and he knows great. What's what.
That's great. What a fucking shot.
Uh-huh.
I love this. Again, using every part of the animal
the tree,
here.
The tree thing.
We've set this up earlier. We have the winch on it. We're going to knock it out. You know, we never had... this is great. What a great fucking shot. We never had a mechanic on the show. A car expert.
oh, that would have been, oh, like, yeah, like a real...
Like someone who actually knows what they're like talking about.
Someone who works, on, who works on old cars.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I didn't even know what a V8 engine was, Yuri.
You know what?
Admittedly.
If, let it be this. If we run into one of those people in our lives, yeah, and we like them, yeah, and they're fun, we'll just do another episode.
Okay. A car-based episode.
This fucking shot.
So fucking good.
And apparently a lot of this dialogue just sort of came up.
Well, it's weird actors. He cast the right weird actors.
Yeah.
Who are like willing to take weird chances in a strange film.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's...
And theater guys, like Shakespeare. Like, this is all... This is so epic and mythic and...
Yeah.
He cast the right people.
Ooh, Cheeto.
Can you think of anyone besides Zoe Kravitz who you feel is just horribly miscast? Like, they could have gotten somebody better for that.
No.
Yeah. There you go.
Which is why I lean into her so hard.
I know.
It's not... In a different film, she wouldn't have stood out to me. But because everyone else is so pitch perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
It makes me think, oh, what is happening with this one thing in the back of the frame now? What are we doing? Oh, yeah. That thing. Are the skulls...
And it's not just because she's American.
Hey, here's a question.
Okay.
The skulls on the front of the war rig.
Yeah.
Are those designed like her steering wheel? Or do they have the same sort of wire pattern?
I don't think so.
You don't
they
think
might
that...
be actual skulls.
Right.
No, I don't think it is.
There's no chance that the wheel matches the car?
I don't think so.
Okay. I believe you.
I believe you.
I believe you just... We don't. You don't believe me.
I do believe
you.
I
just said a thing you didn't believe.
And yet I believe everything you say.
Oh, God, the delicious irony. Great, 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 great. This is straight up war town. I mean, there's mortar shells.
Yeah, yeah. And they throw... And he's reeling in the...
All right, he's like, okay, I guess we're...
I guess you're driving.
Okay, you're doing great. Keep it up.
Just keep driving.
Great. Also, the idea, I love this, that you see sand flying off the top of the war rig, which means they were there long enough to... Kind of, man, look at that. You don't agree. That's
I
okay.
don't agree. I don't agree.
That's fine. But the idea that there's sand swirling around constantly, when they start moving, sand falls off the top. It's just a good little detail.
Yep.
That someone considered, that art department.
Yeah. Inside. Everything is a decision. Nothing is left to chance here.
How does he kill these people?
See,
is the joke that we don't know?
Like, I'd love to do a short film that is just him going back to kill
these
guys.
Did they film it?
No. Didn't we establish that?
I don't know.
When we were talking to Brendan McCarthy or Mark Sexton or somebody?
I thought that we had decided that they didn't film it, but I thought one of our guests said that they did, and then it cut it out.
Ugh.
No,
I don't remember because I'm drunk.
I'm probably right.
although the coffee, the strong coffee you brought me,
yes,
is serving to counter the bourbon a little bit.
Just
which is probably good because I didn't get very much sleep last night.
I kept waking up upset
nervous
with myself
about today.
Well, upset with myself.
Oh, for not having because you looked online because that was your mistake was going to Instagram or Twitter and seeing that George L. R. R. Martin was at your.
My life is constant regarding decisions. That's basically all I do with my life.
No.
Yeah, constant.
Your life is so awesome.
No, I just such an atomic bomb shot. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And the birds.
There's some
the
trees
crows.
There. We just saw some trees in that shot.
Crows.
Winter is coming.
Oh, wow. You went right back to... You can't let that go.
Nope. I saw crows.
It still hurts, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. I'm always making the wrong move.
You know what you should do? If you're really sad about this, here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You need to go to his little town where he has his little theater.
Yeah.
And just go.
Go say hey. What's up?
And go say hey. Yeah. And say hey. I came out here because I missed you at the party in LA.
Yeah, I want to go say hi.
Road trip.
It's not his blood.
Oh, I love it. And you can see that they colored the red blood. So you could that's the only thing with color other than blue in this whole shot.
Got a steering wheel, got a boot, just went shopping. Yeah, good. Some for you. Santa Claus is here for you.
Exactly.
A couple guns.
Right. It's a save the cat moment.
Yeah. It comes an hour and 15 minutes into the film.
Right.
By the way, Max.
By the way, I'm actually a nice guy.
Yeah, that's actually great. That's funny. The first nice thing.
And then he just uses the mother's milk to clean
it. It's a metaphor we never really dug into the way we should have, I think.
Now, is it.
There's some trees, yeah.
Right, you're right. There's some trees. Now, is it a good idea, a bad idea? We don't care that. The steering wheel he brings back fits exactly. It's not like a key to the truck.
Yeah, I don't think it's a key. I think it's a...
It's a symbol.
A symbol. A reverential symbol.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you watch movies with Abby Lee, Like, I'll make you watch Gods of Egypt, which will be painful and hilarious at the same time. But just, the bulging eye shot from the very first fucking movie.
Yeah.
George Miller. You know what? I thought I wanted to fuck Tom Hardy more, but I think I want to fuck George Miller.
Okay. Do you think...
Do you think he would take off his bow tie if we were doing it?
Yes, I do think so.
You do?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Well, he's a gentleman. A gentleman does not leave his bow tie on whilst fucking. Yeah.
Because I just talked about fucking George Miller.
You could, though. I mean, really, you've basically given words to the subtext of the entire podcast. So it's fine that you did that, I think. Look at the boot. Boot's firmly... I never noticed that. The boot is firmly in frame there. That's good. Little subtext boot.
Look at the stitching. He's clearly had to put that sleeve back on his shirt. He's had to repair that shirt so many times.
Do you know where the safety pins came from in the punk movement? Sid Vicious and those guys?
No.
This is interesting. I just learned that. I read his biography. He would go off around town in South London, and all the homeless guys, their clothes would fall apart, and the homeless people all had safety pins keeping their clothes together because they didn't have stitches. They didn't have a sewing machine or sewing kit, but they would just safety pin their stuff on sleeves and stuff that would fall off.
Wow.
And he thought it was cool. So for him, it was showing allegiance to the lower classes and the homeless population.
Wow.
Also, as a fascist statement, to just be like, oh, yeah, this is a cool thing I picked up. And that safety pin thing came from the homeless, the British homeless. Because it's very cold there, Yuri.
I get it.
You don't want your clothes to fall apart.
I can never help but, you know, like with the lizard thing and the bug, I can never help going, imagining what the actor was, you know, where they're like, okay, we're going to put this in later, just give us something good to work with.
Yeah.
And of course, we talked Sex Pistols over that scene, which you know, for many viewings, I was like, I wish I knew what she was talking about. And I love that I finally came to peace.
It's
I've done this many times before.
Oh, yeah. You cracked that pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, something that probably took most viewers on the first viewing to crack.
Well, again, the comic book helps substantially there, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's interesting about her arm is it's pretty shiny. Like, she must polish it.
For something that's, yeah.
Well, she takes good care of it.
Yeah.
I know it's part of her body, so granted, but they could have made the decision to make that rusted and old and janky. But it's shiny and polished, which I think is great.
Good. I know that the continuity is bad there because one of those things in the back should have gotten knocked off in the canyon and is still there.
Right.
But I love the continuity of, you know, that big steam shovel ripped off half of the thing and the other half is still on there.
Yeah. All right, Dag.
God, does any... That's bait.
That's bait.
She's so weird.
Can you think of any other film in the history of you watching films that has paid the same amount of attention to production design? Blade Runner?
I was going to say Minority Report. But yeah, Blade Runner, maybe.
How about that new Blade Runner trailer?
It's pretty great.
I can't.
It's really great. It's surprisingly good.
Plus the fact that I love the director, Denis Villeneuve. Has proved himself to be somebody who they might actually make a good movie.
Because Sicario?
No.
I didn't like Prisoners, I'll be honest with you.
No, Prisoners made me want to shoot myself in the head.
Okay, good.
Mostly because it was so dark and depressing. But did you like Arrival?
I did not like Arrival.
You did not like Arrival?
No.
We could fight about that later.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not like Arrival. We're going to fight so much. Pretty excited about that.
Are we going to fight about Rogue One?
A little.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, not as much.
Okay.
As I can lean into it and make it more of a fight, probably.
Okay. If I know anything about you, it's you know how to create conflict.
I can create, yeah, thanks, man. What are you talking about?
Also, that nudity that we just saw, I do not feel is gratuitous.
I was going to say the same thing. There had an opportunity there to show T's and B's, and they didn't.
And the moments here that they give to go deeper with traditions and practices, the you know, rather than just hugging or just shaking hands or high-fiving or whatever, that they hold their heads together like that.
Yeah,
and then the grabbing of the memories for people lost.
Love it.
That that we see in a moment are also deeply thought through.
Well, yeah, we still have to go to Wasteland.
Also, her eyes are so blue. Yeah, we should.
Really good eyes.
Yeah. We'll go to... let's try for next year.
Yeah.
Let's also... Oh, man. I just thought of something.
There it is.
You and I... And I don't know how... I don't think I'm going to be able to do this right away.
Mm.
But here's what I would like to propose to you.
I'm ready. I'm listening.
I think you and I, because based on conversations that we've had here, and based on things that you and I have done separately,
mm-hmm. Those are real skulls in the front of that car.
Those are, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think
Uh-oh.
You and I should go to Australia.
Okay.
We should get motorcycles.
Okay.
And we should drive across Australia. As sort of like a Motorcycle Diaries kind of thing.
If we could take one tank of gas...
And go 160 days.
Yeah, that's our. We'll test it out. We'll test the theory.
I don't think I could get my wife and my son to agree to me being gone for 160 days in a row.
Well, luckily for you, one tank of gas will last about five days right. Tops. I'm not saying no to that.
Okay.
If we won't die,
table that, and that'll be our next podcast.
Okay. The motorcycle, the Mad Max Diaries.
Or the Mad Max Diaries. The
we'd have to get coverage.
The Planes of Silence Diaries.
Ooh. People would have to give us some sort of news coverage for that, right?
And we could
look
probably...
Look at these dumb idiots.
We could probably do an Indiegogo campaign to fund it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying no to that. Plus, if it's wide open sort of roads, I'm less likely to die, I feel like, because I'll go slow.
It won't be, though. We're going across the middle.
Yeah.
There are huge... Most of Australia is fucking desolate desert.
Yeah, but are there roads? There must be a road.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay. Well, the point is...
That's
going
to show you
how much...
Let's look at a moment of reverence for this moment. Yeah. Just shut up. Shut up. Hold my hand.
Okay.
Hug me. Hold.
Oh, that... Sun flares and shifting sands.
And the sound design that we can't hear right now. And the music. And just barely being able to hear her screams of anguish is everything.
Oh, beautiful shot, too. Beautiful shot. Perfectly framed, and she gets her mouth really wide open.
She's like a snake.
She
can probably unhinge her lower jaw.
God, what a python.
Lower jaw. Like, there's only one jaw. There's not a lower jaw. There's just the jaw.
The top jaw is your head.
Right, your skull is the top, upper jaw.
Yeah, back to this too. This is our satellite.
And I love this, you know, you talk about the monsters at rest, but I'm just this moment of rest where they all get to help fill out the world a little more.
I kind of almost wish they hadn't put that shot of the satellite in. I wish it just would have been
just sort of imagine them seeing it.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would have been okay for me.
I would have been okay with that.
Beautiful.
That, another shot from my wall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In that shot right there, the, what's the main Vivalini called? Who's in the trap?
The Keeper of the Seeds?
Yeah, in that shot, just a second ago, she looked much younger, and she looked like Tara.
Oh, no, wait, the,
Not Keeper of the Seeds,
the bait. Yeah, the bait.
What's her name?
Yeah.
She has a name.
She does have a name, and it's Bait.
Okay. Bait Woman.
Bait Woman.
But no, she has a real name.
Yeah,
there's old Boney / Keeper of the Seeds.
But it wouldn't be our podcast if I couldn't remember a character's name that we've worked the year on.
Yeah. I just feel like as I get older, I lose everything. The dad doesn't have the best posture, but it's endearing.
But, yeah.
It makes me like her more because she's so weird.
You know what? I should try to... I wonder if we could get in touch with Keeper of the Seeds. It seems like somehow, like, she wouldn't give a fuck about Facebook, so it'd be hard for me to reach out to her on Twitter or Facebook.
I bet she's skinning a rabbit right now in some backyard.
I know, it makes me feel like she dresses like that in her normal everyday life.
Oh, for sure.
They went out to an opal mine somewhere and found her.
Yeah. You're in. Can you say lines?
Right.
Yep, you're in.
Do you speak English? Okay, great.
Look how... weird the dag is.
Oh, Matt Bao. This is the moment that bonded us with Matt Bao.
Yep. It's my blood.
When he sent it back that email and said, I listened to the podcast, it's my blood.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't think he meant that antagonistically, but the sentence, it's my blood, just
feels
aggressive.
It was one of the greatest things that's ever
happened
amazing. On our podcast.
And I realize I just can't help but feel like that's an aggressive sentence. Like, you know what? It's my blood. Okay. Whoa. Also echoing a line of the film, it's not his blood.
Also, this has got to have been, because this looks like it's at night, so they're all like, oh, it's so cold out, we should wrap ourselves in blankets and everything. It's the middle of the day in the desert.
Oh, you're right.
So they're probably sweating balls.
In Namibia.
I love how they're posed in the background.
Yeah.
Like, that's clearly composition.
Yeah, it's true. It's great. Can you guys stand here and look badass?
It's a fucking hero pose.
Just look badass for a second. I always, you know what, there's been times in my life when I've had to wear a lot of stuff and like carry a lot of stuff if I'm traveling on a motorcycle or something, mm-hmm. and I always feel badass when I have to carry like a vest full of stuff in like a backpack, and Tom Hardy always has stuff on him.
He does.
And I think it makes him look so cool.
Yeah.
He's got a little Bowie knife there.
I love how many times he's had to repair his jacket.
Some tubing.
That's great costume design.
Yeah.
You could, because you can tell.
In the video game also.
Look at the light in his pupils. That's the only thing they didn't darken down.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I like that George Miller prizes beauty over realism in a lot of
But also fucked up, like what actor and what director would make... I mean, he still looks handsome, obviously, through that fucked up haircut and the scars and everything.
Yeah.
But it's fucked, The hair over his ear that they forgot to cut?
Yeah.
It's just gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And back to iconic.
Oh, so good.
I totally grant there's extra fuel tanks on those bikes, but...
Yeah, but you still can't carry enough fuel to go on her.
It really is a perplexing thing.
I'll tell you what. I just found out a solve to that. If you drive 10 minutes a day...
Oh.
You could probably drive 160 days.
Okay. Good call. Good call. Just bad planning.
Oh, and here's your magical realism
There's
moment.
There's the magical realism.
Or just the magic.
The leg brace in the video game also.
Yep.
And in the film.
From the first film.
Yep, yep. Straight through.
Mm-hmm. That is something they have been pretty.
Is it in the
continuity one?
Thunderdome.
Yeah,
it is too. Okay. This shot's so great.
It's all so good. It's all so good.
It must be fun to ride a motorcycle in the desert.
I love that. I've never seen. I've seen sidecars before, but I've never seen a motorcycle pulling a sled. That's just That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Practical. Because there are no roads. It's all dirt.
Yeah, that's great. Here we go. I drew a map to show you to go. It's weird that he has to draw a map because let's just go back the way he came. Remember the thing we just did? Let's do that again.
Here, but I'm gonna draw Morton Joe's symbol.
I'm crazy, so I just drew you a map to say.
I thought you weren't crazy anymore.
Chewing that stupid toothpick.
Yeah.
Get it. Stop it. Don't do that. I never thought about that, but that is a dumb thing to do to draw that map. Also, look, the only person who has a colorful shawl or sash is capable.
She's the colorful. Although Abby Lee looks, the dag looks great.
Oh, of course.
And she's got those little things dangling on the little jawbone. It looks very pretty. I love that it took us till the end for you to find something that you were like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
It took a year
for
you to dig something out of this movie that you were like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But am I right?
Yeah.
Couldn't you have said, hey, guys, I have an idea. What if we just go back the way we came? It's undefended.
But you know what? He would have kept a map. He knew he was going on.
So he's just been as they went, he's been keeping
a map. He's been just adding a map, yeah.
Which they're just heading one direction, though. It's not so not practical. They headed east.
I guess if he figures he's never going to go back.
Yeah, but like, okay.
That's another little Tom Hardy little smile moment. I love the Keeper of the Seeds has that little gourd that makes it look like she's got testicles.
Yeah.
It's hanging right there.
Super smart.
She's like, I've got
obviously
balls.
Intentional. Obviously.
Obviously. Everything in this movie is intentional.
Do you think he was keeping a map? He's like, here's some marsh. Here's some marsh.
So do you think this is just the most recent map he's made and he's got like a pocket full of maps that he's made over the last four movies?
I don't know what's happening there, but I like the idea. But here's what lends credence to my theory.
I love the shot of all of the women, and I love that Riley Keough has all the red in the shot. It's her blanket, it's her hair,
Here's my argument for this is that we know from Matt Bow that it was a last minute addition. It wasn't storyboarded. It wasn't asked for.
Right, the map.
And and like, let's have this map. And so clearly someone was like, hey, what if we need some visual aid? He needs to like reference something when making an argument. So what if he has a map? How would he make it? Well, he has no ink, he'll use blood, whatever. That all tracks. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't an original idea because it doesn't make sense.
Okay. I see your point.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Wins. A good i5. Here goes that magic
staff. He's got that scepter.
I love that he made himself a ruling scepter. That's so funny.
Yeah.
The
umbrella, the sun, that's guy drinking in the background. I never noticed that before. Off of fire.
The grossest feet ever back there. His mask is also chromed up and shiny, which is cool.
I would watch a TV show of Monsters at Rest with these guys, like War Boys on their downtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Much like I would do. I love how the people here has a gas mask on his dick.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I just noticed that.
That's
got a
great.
A gas mask as a codpiece.
That's fucking great.
See it?
Yeah.
See it?
Yeah.
That's fucking horrible.
Here he goes. Rictus also
that
has...
That shows how often he's got somebody's head down there.
Yeah. You're going to want to breathe in a second. Rictus also has baby heads on his belt, which is cool. He's baby headed out. He really wanted a little brother.
God, this shot. This, how do you? That's either on a line or a drone or something. It's
really good. Okay, there we go. Signals are up. They know they're after him, and the rest of the film is a chase sequence. Shiri, are you ready? Oh, there's the dad doing a little prayer.
Anyone who's listening, I'm never ready. I'm never ready. I'm always ready.
She's so committed. I love her.
They're all coming together. This is it.
The big moment.
And you thought it was just three, but then it's four. Then they surprise you with a fourth.
Oh, I like the fourth.
And here comes the Interceptor with two little slit.
In the video game, it ends chromed, but starts black, right?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Maybe? Yeah, you're right. You're right, it does.
And there's like nice chrome here. That's all I'm saying. It's chromed out Interceptor.
And we have established that squirting that the gas right into the air intake or whatever is...
If I established you mean we set it on air, then yes, we did. We definitely did. Like, we 100% said that. And
you
said,
know what?
I think the sentence was, it must be true.
Don't care, because the idea of a showdown between Nux and Slit on the hood of the car, I don't care what you do to get them on there.
Yeah.
This is just great.
Traitor! Oh, also, that's fucking badass. When he puts that in... It's flaring up the back there. Just having fire on the side that can't serve a purpose, right? It's just cool.
I don't know. I think we've established that I don't know anything about cars.
More than me. Such a good idea.
Oh, and you see the inside of the... It shreds the tire, but it's still got a frame. It's like one of those no-flat tires.
Yeah, makes sense. Get out of here, buddy. I got you.
Go in. I got you.
Fucking Slit's the best. What a jerk.
He really is.
He's just a real asshole. Now he's just showing
off. Squirting the mustard and ketchup things full of gasoline in his mouth.
Yeah, he's just showing off.
He really is.
Oh, right in the jaw. Vavolini.
Slit's like, oh, no, not again.
Dang it. I was
on top of this. Yeah. Vavolini are so bad.
And peeling off. Just to set the stage for this, the idea that you can track every major character through this sequence and know where every vehicle is is a remarkable piece of filmmaking.
Yep.
It is not
easy. Sure, you still don't want to use bourbon.
Keep going, man.
Okay.
You're gonna finish a whole bottle.
Drink it for both of us.
Tara's gonna be like, what?
She's gonna be like, what happened? What happened back? What have you guys been? Why are you not wearing a shirt?
why is your face chromed?
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Oh, this alcohol is serving you well.
It really is. I'm
quite pleased.
This is more for you than anything.
That's amazing.
Oh.
They're so bad. Oh. Just maced.
Here's the thing. They didn't have those boomsticks, those thunder sticks, when they were just Vavolini.
Yeah, she stole one.
So she, since the time we last saw them to the time she pulls up alongside them, she has fucking killed some guys and taken them.
I love, by the way, that Immortan Joe, so good, doesn't even blink while bullets are being fired at his face.
Yeah. Because he believes himself to be immortal.
Yeah.
At this point. He believes his own myth. Ugh, so gross. That he sticks his tongue out when he... it's gross, so gross.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a brutal death, man. Oh, here comes the harpoons.
Plows. Harpoons and plows. And now that I really recognize that those guys are yellow-painted sulfur from...
Yeah, I never would have registered that. That's so smart.
Thank you, Mark Sexton. It was Mark Sexton, wasn't it?
I think that was Brendan McCarthy.
Is it Brendan McCarthy?
I feel like.
We've had so many amazing guests on this show that it's hard to remember.
Did we have... patting our backs. What, there's the fucking
bolt cutters again.
Yeah.
Never has a prop recurred so many times in a movie.
Boots and bolt cutters. Is there any guest that we haven't mentioned?
They should have just called this movie Mad Max Boots and Bolt Cutters.
Boots and Bolt Cutters.
What were you about to say?
Any other guest we haven't mentioned that we had? I feel like...
Travis Stevens.
Oh, Travis Stevens.
But he's a good one to bring up at the end because he's got that theory about the end.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I still don't buy it.
Fair enough.
But good. That was good fight choreography talk there because he covered that.
That's right. Yeah, because he's a combat guy. Yeah,
tough fella.
Him and Greg Van Morrison.
Oh, that's good. That was the best performance Zoe Kravitz gave in the whole film because I don't think they told her they were going to do it. That was a real reaction.
God,
that shot.
Again, I don't. Oh, so many things. You know, and he doesn't. That's another thing. You know, sort of like the comment I had before.
Oh.
George Miller does so many amazing things. And he's not like, oh, this is the most amazing thing I'm going to do. I'm going to linger on it for a while. He's like, this is the most amazing thing we're going to do in this shot. and you get it for a there's split second, cast. And then we're going to do some more amazing things.
Yep.
I don't need to linger, because I know that there's more to come, and it's so shit. Good.
Yep. Oh, the Polecats are in now.
Is Blast. It wrong to say that I want George Miller to direct every movie that comes out from here on till he dies?
I don't think that's wrong. Okay. I think that it would be smart to have him.
And I don't care what the genre is. I just want him to
What's
direct
the
all the
worst
movies.
Worst movie for George Miller to direct?
That movie about the dog.
Manchester
that's
by
out,
the Sea. What about that?
Manchester by the Sea might have been
a bad movie
might have been
for
a lot
George
better
Miller.
If George Miller had. Now I haven't seen it. To full yeah. disclosure. A Dog's Purpose? No, uh-huh. because he's done animal movies before.
Marley and Me.
He would have Marley and Me. He would have made that awesome, though.
Old Boney just got whacked.
I can't think of a movie that has come out that if George Miller had directed it, it wouldn't have been better.
Yeah, you're actually right about that, I think. I love this shot. I love that in the middle of the sequence it takes
the
time
green,
to remember
the,
hope. Yeah,
they really punched the green on that.
Oh, I love Old Boney.
And I love the relationship that the DAG has created with Old Boney. Now, yeah. now we finally get the Polecats.
Massive.
In their full...
Shot. That's the
I mean,
shot.
I know we saw it a little bit, but...
Interspersed with brutal hand-to-hand combat,
yeah.
which the video game
yeah.
I thought did really well.
Yeah.
Brutal fight
yeah.
scenes in that video game.
Boom.
Nice. Gets his one shot, one kill, saves Charlize Theron's life.
I love that unconscious Polecat on top of
yeah.
the... Just hanging there. I
yeah.
never noticed that
yeah,
before.
Yeah, he got knocked out.
That guy's mask, clearly the best. He's clearly the alpha.
Amazing.
The alpha cat.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing mask.
Oh, no, but
gets
he's not. He's
stabbed,
still there because he comes back.
Gets stabbed.
Guess what?
On.
You forget about that guy, but he comes back hard.
Yep.
Gas masks. I can't believe we never caught that before.
Guess who gets stolen? Uh-huh.
Gas town. Yep.
Get her out of there.
One.
Yeah. I feel like she could have avoided being taken if she would have worked a little harder.
I feel that if that had been the DAG who had been taken, you would not have come up with that.
No, the DAG wouldn't have been taken, obviously. That's the answer to that. Oh, I love this.
I know. As you love this shield that this guy's got that's
yeah.
a road sign.
Yeah. I just love that we're in straight up hand-to-hand combat town. Like,
yeah.
I love that it went there, because it didn't have to
yeah.
go there. Oh, peril.
Peril. It's nothing but peril, this movie.
And someone gets
recovery.
Fucking...
Oh, shit!
Okay, here it
that's
is.
Right, and that's the...
There's our guy.
And here we go. You thought it was... No, and the
baby
horrible
head,
baby...
Crazy guy.
Oh, and the stabbing, and the... Oh, and the pain, and the real pain.
Oh,
and the,
bullet in the eye
the old
from Old Boney.
They got so many... You know, it's hard to... Like, if you had said, what's your favorite moment in this film, it'd be... Every second, I would have a different one.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's a film made of nothing but favorite moments.
Old Boney stabbing someone in the eye with a bullet is pretty good.
Is it the bourbon talking, or would I just be happy just watching this movie over and over again and never another movie?
You're consistently happy about it, so I think that's a very fair assessment. I think it's you're never disingenuously
saying
whatever.
Yeah, I get it.
Here comes
Slit.
Death.
Here it is.
Oh,
yes, that's
the point.
Fucking money.
It's like,
it's
I'm
the
coming
money.
After you.
It's
his
the money.
His eye's all fucked up. I never noticed that before.
Oh, I didn't
he
either.
He busted his eye. That's great.
Ugh.
See his right eye? It's all bloody.
Ugh.
Here comes Smush. No one witnesses your death, you
no
idiot.
One witnesses. Guess what? Guess what?
No one witnesses
you. Died
you
died ignominious death.
Yeah. Empty.
Mediocre.
Mediocre.
Slit. So
yeah.
mediocre. That, you know, that felt a lot better than
It
I was
really
not planning
good.
On doing that. That felt
no,
really good.
I felt natural and real.
I feel like we avenged Morsov.
Finally, someone did it. It's about, that's such a badass
yeah.
stunt. God, and now listen, Nux is part of it. But
yep.
now we're switched over. The darkest, dark night of the soul has sort of ended, and we're on the
How
upswing
many times,
now, I
hope we get in every Mad Max film a fight on the hood of a car
of
where Mad Max has to... Ugh.
If there's a car movie, you got... Oh, pulls that out of her body. Holy shit. I'm going to be honest with you, man. That
knocking
would
the,
hurt. I feel like
yep,
that would hurt.
Yep.
She's hurt. She's hurt bad.
Everything hurts. Everything
yeah.
hurts out here.
Yeah, it's true. Except for the DAG's face. It just makes me feel nice.
It does not hurt at all.
No, it makes me feel
just
really
this,
good
this
about
makes
things.
You feel reborn. I know.
God damn it, he's a badass. Here we go.
Get the
fuck
get
down. Get the
fuck down.
And boom.
Right, you are a great human shield because you are so fat.
That's so genius.
It really
ends
is.
Up being the human shield.
They use every
part of the animal.
Every part of the animal.
Yeah, yeah.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
They use every part of the animal in this film.
The good old people eater. Okay,
that's...
here we go. At least the fire flamethrowers get used at some point.
Yeah.
In an effective
in
way.
In
there's
sort of
light in the hole.
Oh, boom. That guy's... Oh,
on the head. Oh. It's amazing they didn't have any injuries on this film. I can't believe that. I'm serious injuries.
Yeah, serious injuries. You're right.
Yeah,
I would have. You know, if you had told me, 12 people died on this film,
yeah, I'd be like,
that sounds.
And I would have said, worth it.
Yeah, no. But it's a testament to all the fight choreography people. It's
fucking great. Oh God, everything is last minute. And you just got back on the fucking war rig. Give me a break here, guys.
There is no. There's no break. Oh. There is barely any break. Oh, and you're off and you're under.
So
and
smart.
You're dead.
Unhitched and back.
Here's
over.
Your shot. Here's
yep,
your shot.
Yep, that's the one. It's beautiful, let's be honest, but pretty CGI'd. Okay.
Jamuskin Raiders.
Jamuskin Raiders.
And boot off. He's got his boot off.
God,
I never noticed
God.
That before.
See?
He literally took his boot off.
George and Miller may
we're
be
continuing,
a...
even though we closed the loop on that, he's like, let's bring it back one more time.
I think he may have a foot fetish.
Wow.
George Miller.
You know, we're going to have to go back and watch. Plus, I haven't made you watch Babe Pig in the City,
yep.
too.
I'd like to watch that. You
which we should
me.
Watch and do an episode on that. We should watch Happy Feet and see if there's a boot gag.
Yeah, fucking George Miller's foot fetish is the real discovery of this podcast.
Look at that. Did you see how interestingly their hands were intertwined?
Yeah, I love it. I think part of that's just to make sure that you register.
That's also, I know, guess what though? I know this is reaching, but that is also sign language for love is that.
Yeah, true. Possible. Listen, I put nothing
cramming
past
it. Cramming it in.
I put nothing past this film, honestly.
Ah.
This is great.
I think we should road trip to Australia just to go, because these vehicles have to be somewhere that we can go and see them. You wouldn't just destroy these vehicles or not have them available for public viewing, right?
So the idea then is that we go to Australia.
Sexton would know. Brendan McCarthy would know.
Mark Sexton shows us around all the props. We steal them. We take them back to America.
I love that this is a plan.
Yes.
Because get this, when I went to New Zealand once, they had the ship from... The freighter from King Kong was just docked in the bay.
Wow.
It was just there.
That's crazy. Were they filming with it?
No, it was done. The movie's done.
Oh, down in Wellington, I bet.
It was in Wellington, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. Oh!
This is where we really get the doof?
Yes.
Or the doof?
The doof got doofed.
As a lot of Australians pronounce it.
The doof. Dinky die.
Dinky die. Well done.
Poor Jason. I think like most great heists that we're planning, it's best to say them on air and
right,
so broadcast that they
can,
them.
So they can defend. Or no, it's that's the classic misdirect.
We're
going to do it this way, but we're going to do it that way.
Until it happens. I also love that he gets to
knock off his mom's face mask, which we've learned.
Ugh, it's horrible. So gross.
Horrible. But every character's got a backstory.
Yep. Here we go.
I would love to get George Miller around a fire in the outback and just have him tell us all the backstories for all the characters.
Oh, that'd be so great.
And this is her redemption.
Yeah, it's all seated properly too. It's all Oh God, this is the brutal fight sequences coming up. But the idea that she does try to leave and then fakes trying to leave every gun on the wall fires every fucking one.
Yeah, all those Chekhov's guns.
Yep. Oh, Nathan Jones. You stay away from the DAG. You stay away from her.
Stay away from her.
You're not going to... Let go of her.
That she's Travis's.
Yes. Oh. Now the wives are coming in. Yep. Oh, my God.
And she's off. But maybe not dead. That's a beautiful... You know, that's a Vivalini survives.
He's going to hit him with a skull. Or throw a skull at him.
I'd love to see a short film about
it's
her.
It's just a donk moment. Donk.
A short film about her falling off the truck.
Yeah.
Falling off the war rig. And then finding a way back to the Citadel.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be
that's
great.
A whole movie.
That's the Rogue One of Mad Max.
Oh.
Do the tubes run beneath?
Every time he shows up, I'm like,
you know what, man? If
there's
they do,
the hiss, the George Miller hiss.
Yes, that guy's
that's
great.
So fucking brutal.
The Grand Imperator.
Yes.
I would. I buy the mask if the tubes go underneath the mask. I buy it all.
Okay.
It makes perfect sense then. Oh, they do, right?
I think sure they do. Right. Sure they do.
Because you don't want loose wires flopping around your head if you're a warrior. You want it strapped down.
Yeah, you need to attach something.
All right, I'm sold, guys. Finally, episode 52. I'm sold.
You're sold on that.
I buy it. Oh, this is the grossest moment in the world.
Here it is. I'm glad we freeze-framed on that one time.
Yeah.
Go to Twitter if you haven't seen it.
And he hit Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, right in his teeth. Right in his teeth. And it's in. And she sacrifices her arm. Her arm goes in, and so does his jaw.
Ripped his face right.
His lower jaw.
Off. Oh my God, it's so gross.
And that's the first clear shot of the steering wheel, really, for that car, that vehicle, which is the most ostentatious of all of them, rightfully so.
Yeah. There's Zoe Kravitz's moment of kicking the chastity belt, basically. The fuck you and your patriarchy. The DAG looking great. Doing good stunts.
Oh, man. You know she's got to be twice as tall as you.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys would make the best looking couple.
She's just, it would look crazy.
Yeah.
Because she's crazy.
Yeah.
All this also, too, I noticed is all green screen, but it doesn't matter. Like, there's a lot
doesn't
of these shots that...
It doesn't draw attention. It doesn't...
Not at
it's
all.
Not, it's not showing something so obviously impossible for you to go, oh, well, that's got to be, you know.
Yeah, and it's something that you don't register unless you literally stare at the back of the frame. Because you're so focused on what's going on.
Their relationship is so well treated. It's not sappy and...
It's a good lesson for magic tricks also, which is that if your A story is interesting enough, all the background fades away. People don't notice all that bullshit.
There you go.
The magic
sacrifice.
The magic of filmmaking.
And, yeah.
I also love that Nux is the one who conquers the big final villain.
Yeah. I'm also the Rictus.
Yeah. Stop fucking with me!
Right. I literally pull this engine out of the hood of your car.
Oh, amazing moment.
Yeah, witness me. It's the first time that it means
the right
something.
Thing.
The right thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fucking great. But he saves all their lives.
He saves them all.
Yeah. Oh, buddy. Yep. Just watching Rictus hit the ground there is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then the slow motion animal sounds here again from Mark Mangini.
Yep.
I'll just do the Foley guys.
Do it. And then the worst CG part.
Yeah, that's the 3D moment there.
Oh, did I do something? I fucked it up.
Yeah,
I fucked it up.
Yuri got drunk and
I fucked it up.
Backed up the film, you guys.
You guys.
Now our commentary is a little.
I have to. Your commentary is going to be off.
We're going to go back.
Oh, no, I just tried to keep the PlayStation from going to sleep.
We're going. No, Yuri.
We're going on,
guys. We're commenting. So
this is the worst thing that could have happened.
Do you think any? Do you think any
commentary has done this before?
Of course, this is our.
Guys, pause your commentary.
Yeah, I'll tell you
for a second.
Pause the movie. It. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Pause it. Oh, I fucked everything up.
Pause it where you're at, guys.
Oh, this is the best worst thing to have happened. Yeah. Okay, and guitar.
The guitar's.
The guitar 3D moment. Oh, I fucked it up. I can't. This is. We had to do something wrong. And the. Okay, the
God
steering wheel.
Okay, so now we cut to black.
Go to black.
We're at black now. And
we're
coming
black.
Out of black and right.
We're black. And.
Right.
And
now,
we come back now.
There's the sun.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I fucked it up.
The all you had to do was
all
not fast forward the film.
It was not touch the.
God,
it's because I've been drinking. I'm
I
so
really
sorry.
Think it's appropriate.
I'm
that
so sorry.
The easiest thing. We still can't even do that.
I'm so sorry.
Honest question, Yuri. Are we the worst film podcast
We're
in history?
The worst. Okay, are you guys back on track? Please, did you stay with us?
I mean, if you're not, Yuri's apologizing. If he doesn't
know. You know, if you're not, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so anyway, he's going to fucking repair.
Guys, we've got 3 minutes left.
So
I don't know. I don't even know.
This is great.
Okay, ready? I'm so
this
sorry.
This is fantastic.
Okay.
Way to ruin everybody's experience, the very emotional climax of the film. So now we're like all 10 seconds off probably, guys, but just bear with us here. Not that we've been fucking spot on to the second, the
no,
rest of the thing.
No, I know.
You guys get the idea. Look, Charlize Theron's a great actress. She's
Tom Hardy's awesome.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. Everything's great.
It does make
George
sense
Miller's
that he's very tan.
Time.
It does make sense, because he's been outside with no coverage.
Guess what? It doesn't make sense, because he had a beard. His face should not be tan.
You're right. I stand back. I stand corrected. You're right. 100% right, Yuri. Jesus Christ.
His face should be, like, totally, like, where
yes.
his beard is, it should be totally pale.
Yuri!
I just ruined the film in so many ways!
No, it's a great point. I'm struck by your genius. Yuri, how has that never come up before? Did you know that and you were holding on to that?
Nope.
You just came up with it.
That's why I knew that us doing this commentary, even after watching the film for a year, that we would that things would still come up.
Yeah. And
New things.
And knowing George Miller's a doctor, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? All this stuff is...
You just assume it's right.
Yeah.
Catheter to the arm, kind of, sort of. We didn't decide on that.
Right. Well, and we didn't decide if they actually did that to an arm or if it's a CG covering.
I love
that.
How twitchy the dag is here. Let me just talk about my wife again for a second.
she's panicking.
So twitchy
because she is one of the wives, but she's really your wife.
Yeah, she's my wife. She's my betrothed. But she has this like nice little quirky twitchiness to her, which is perfect.
My name is Max. Which also in the video game, he late in the game he says, "My name is Max." He finally introduces himself.
Yeah,
so many things.
I wonder if that is a coincidence.
It's not. It can't be.
My name is Max. There's our favorite guy. My favorite guy.
Right? Right.
The legless dude.
I would love to believe that this guy works all the time as an actor.
Yeah. Well, Quentin does.
Yeah?
Quentin fucking kills it out there.
But Quentin's like famous over there.
I know.
He's like famous since he was a kid.
His Twitter account's really entertaining too. I've been following him and reading his tweets.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Also, talk about a guy who has defied the odds. Fuck. They're like, yeah, you're going to be dead by age one,
yeah.
two,
yeah.
three, 20, 40, however old you're going to, I guess you're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
He's a fucking survivor, that guy.
He's a champion. Also, I love that they were kind of cooking his body. On the hood of the car, because you know it's very
right,
hot.
Right, oh, it probably smells horrible.
Oh my god, it's burnt flesh. They've just cooked him. And this is my favorite relic moment coming up here.
Your favorite relic moment?
Yeah, when they tear his body apart.
Oh, yeah.
Just tear his body apart.
That, the holy relic?
For religious relic purposes.
God, that fucking car.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, kids. Yeah.
There's some beautifully cute kids there.
Who are Quentin might be actually asleep in that shot. Did you notice that? His eyes are sort of closed.
He's like, I did, yeah.
The guy's just.
I think he's supposed to be,
he's looking
right?
down. He's always looking down. He's looking down, and it just looks like he's asleep.
Oh,
there it is.
So gross.
You're like, wait, what? Wait, what the, we don't even know what to do with this.
Yeah.
What do we shoot the,
sense to me that they don't do anything here.
Yeah, like, I used to have a problem with that, but God, that's such a great, him standing on the top of the, mm-hmm. on the fucking hood of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the war
Weird
pups.
War boys just looking around.
And then the frenzy, and then they all look back, and he's like, oh, shit.
I love that he auditioned with a monologue from when Harry Met Sally.
It's beautiful.
It's the funniest part of that interview was him saying that. How'd you get the part? Well, I did this Harry Met Sally scene. All right. I guess that's how George Miller works.
Craig Van Forsen, ladies and gentlemen.
What a fucking
badass.
Big dude.
Pecs to the days as the day is long.
Yeah, this is great. There's a
and that helmet with there's a baby head on the back of the helmet.
Is there
on the back of even the brakeman's helmet?
I love that this has been the big discovery of the commentary today.
Yeah,
is that
they've crammed it full of fertility and birth?
Well, it's children
imagery.
Of men in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And the idea that babies would be idolized as a hopeful sign is really really smart. I think.
Yeah,
you guys know what I'm talking about. Children of men.
You know, children of men.
That great
That's arguably one of the best helmets or, you know, masks of the whole movie.
It's a killer Undertaker. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an Undertaker mask.
Yeah, he looks like an executioner. He's dressed like an executioner.
And again, there's our friend with the weird face.
He's not the guy from the visions.
Totally not.
The memories.
They happen to share a skin color, guys. That's
right.
It.
And maybe dreads.
Yeah. And here's the
ladies.
The mother's milk ladies.
Mm-hmm.
The milkmaids, they call them.
That's what they call them?
The milkmaids.
Milkmaids.
Yeah.
All our gang clapping. Woo! Yeah! Freebird!
Right? Max looking stoic, thinking, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta get out of here. But you don't know that yet.
Because Travis Stevens is like, he's thinking about the strategic value of it.
Right, this is all gonna go to shit in about 3 days.
Yeah, but I don't think that's right. I think if he means that, he stays and gets water and food.
I think that says more about Travis Stevens than it does
always being
than
strategic.
About this movie.
Where is he?
Oh, look at that.
Zoe Kravitz with the cut on her face from
all
Morton Joe's
on,
bash. She gets it.
She's like, thanks. He's like, you'll be fine. And she's like, thanks.
Yeah, I will be fine. Right. Once his eye heals up, I'll be okay. And then, beautiful last shot.
And this is the wipe. This is the wipe. That's all you need to see.
Genius wipe. Perfectly centered.
And the DAG is still doing things with her hands. She's always doing things with her hands.
Yeah, she's so twitchy
she's
and
so
beautiful.
Jittery. Wait, shh. Where does he go? Will you wander this wasteland in search of our better selves? The First History Man. And for a long time, I thought that must be some Australian book.
We cracked everything, man. We've decoded the film.
Yeah.
I think we got it. I think we really have a good grasp.
Hey, Brandon McCarthy was on our fucking podcast.
Yes, he was.
What do you think about that?
Doug Mitchell.
We're going through, let's call out people as they were on our show.
Yep. Margaret Sitzel, not on our show. Tom Hulkenberg, not on our show.
Doug Yexel, not on our show.
Colin Gibson,
not on our show, but I've reached out to him.
This has been very depressing
Jenny
so far.
Beavan, you know, maybe I should reach out to her?
Yeah, you should.
I should reach out to all these people.
They told us to reach out to
some
her.
Some of these, you know, guy. I've reached out to some of these people.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Okay, so far, not a lot of people on this podcast.
Andrew Jackson would be a great person to talk to. Bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson. Yeah. Mark Sexton, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon McCarthy. Peter Pound, I reached out to.
Yeah, great.
Not to call these people out for not getting back to me. I mean, they're busy people with busy lives, and who the fuck are we, right?
But who doesn't have time to spend 45 minutes talking about an amazing project with some really, really devoted people?
Yeah. Rona Kress.
Say this about us. Say what you will about us.
Hugh Keith's brother, Nicholas Hoult.
We are devoted, guys. We are devoted. Committed.
Josh Hellman, one of these days, he's gonna get to his
Zoe
Facebook
Kravitz.
And he's
gonna toast the
realize
knowing
that we have friends in common.
Bland as toast.
Oh man, toast is delicious.
Good old Abby Lee. No, toast is not delicious. Okay. Toast is competent.
I was trying to. Okay.
No, toast is what you eat when you have nothing else, which is appropriate.
Okay. Angus Sampson would be a great. I mean, all these people would be.
Valkyrie, that's who she is. The Valkyrie.
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 You know, you pronounce it however you want.
No, I'm going to say it the way you say it because you're right.
Jones.
The Valkyrie.
Antoinette Kellerman.
There are shots where the Valkyrie looks like your wife. I do mean that.
Yeah. No, in a good way, she's hot.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right?
That was as complimentary.
Ripsaw Imperator, Greg Van Borsum.
Do we ever figure out what Glory of the Child was? Is that the
flashback? The Brakeman, Greg Van Borsum.
Fucking Greg Van Borsum.
Everybody, Greg Van Borsum.
The many voices of Lee Perry. I really feel like we have a grasp on this film. I think we have this film
and yet
sorted
I
out.
I feel like we could keep watching it.
We could. That's certainly true. But I do feel like there wasn't a moment where I was like, what are we doing? This is a waste of time.
Here's the thing. Yeah, there was never any moment where and I don't think it's us. I think it's the film. I would love to say we're so interesting and so smart that we could pull this out of anything, but it's not.
I don't think that for one second. There's one thing I've learned is that we're not interesting or smart. I've learned that we can't
or
even...
funny or
we
handsome
well, we can't
or
even
competent.
Do a commentary without fast-forwarding the film.
No.
I
blew it in the last... I had one job.
The best metaphor for this podcast.
To not touch the PlayStation controller.
The last 20 minutes of the last episode, and you're
and,
like...
And I...
Yeah. Oh, Yuri... Yuri. I can't think of a more appropriate way to go out of this podcast.
Really, no.
Honestly, though.
Ignominiously?
Ignominious ending.
Ignominiously.
He's so disappointed, you guys. That makes me happy.
Additional casting. That's where we are, in case you got thrown off.
Yeah.
Art department.
Please stay with us all the way to the
end. Supervising
art
director
this,
Richard
guys.
Hobbs.
Yeah.
On-set art director George Zammit, which would have been a great job. Think about it. On-set art director.
Oh, fucking awesome. Just come
to
up
be,
with...
To be fucking in Namibia and make sure that everything looked awesome all the time.
Anytime your job is to just come
make
up
everything
with
look
awesome.
Ideas
and look
Weta,
awesome.
Additional hero costume. Dude, Weta. You know, there's not an amazing movie without Weta involved,
I agree
in my
with you.
Opinion.
I mean, listen, everything good comes
dummy
from
dummy fabrication.
Rings,
they clearly fabricated us. Boom, boom. That was terrible. That was...
I liked it. I think...
No, don't...
I did
Pander
like it.
To me.
Maybe for the wrong reasons, but I liked it.
Okay.
There's pleasure. Here's the thing.
Wilfred Cock. That's his name, is Wilfred Cock.
Even if you fail, Yuri, you succeed with me. That's how I feel. Because it's joyful. It's joyful failure.
What are we going to do after this? What are we going to do? Are we going to be friends anymore?
Well, we're only better friends after this, I feel. Let's just take a second and talk about... we should save that for our last episode.
The thing which you've already listened to.
Yeah.
In memory of Jaco Esbach, I'd like to give a little grab from the end, pring to my heart. We just did that.
We Valvolini'd ourselves.
I don't know who he was, but he died during
this
production.
Mad respect. That's it.
Camera operator Sven Vosloo. I wonder if he's related to Arnold Vosloo.
The first time, I don't know who that is.
He's an actor from The Mummy. He played The Mummy in the original
movie. Oh, cool.
Film. But he's also been in a lot of stuff since then.
Oh, interesting. I'd been seeing movies with my mother for quite some time growing up, and then the first time I was in college, and we stayed after a film to watch the credits.
Why?
Something happened where I started doing that or something in college, just giving respect.
Because that's something that I do.
Yeah, I like it. I think you pay respect.
It's
to all
rare
people.
That I will walk out before the end of the
same. Day. And I didn't do that growing up because I didn't know any better. I went to college, or maybe when I came back from L.A. Mm. Anyway, I was in the movie theater with her. Mm. I was like, oh, let's stay for the credits. She started laughing about halfway through. She goes, this is awesome. I was like, what's awesome? And she goes, this is a joke, right? I was like, what do you mean? What's the joke? And she goes, all these names. It's like, there's too many names. It's a joke that took this. Is that why you wanted me to stay to watch? That this is the funny joke?
So it was a teachable moment.
It was. I was like, oh, no, this is how many people it takes to make a film. And she's like, no. She goes, this has to be a joke. There's like hundreds of names here. I was like, that's how a movie gets made. She's like, I thought like 10 or 20 people. Right. I was like, no, Mom. It's not how films get made.
That's beautiful.
You guys. She's a lovely woman. Beautiful. Doesn't know much about film, which, you know.
Which is fine.
I think it's great. She knows lots about a lot of other things. We know lots about Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
Don't forget, we have to label this episode. What was it? Travis Max Yuri Road. What is it called? Travis Max
Yuri Road?
Yuri Road?
Yeah.
Yeah. Commentary?
Okay.
We had an idea for it. I don't know if that was it. Doesn't feel
right. That's what it is now.
All right. Travis Max, Uri Road.
The commentary.
Dialect coach. Lots voice cast, Barbara Harris.
Good old Barbara.
She's not.
Who's this Eleni Carandrao? She wrote two songs for this movie. Or I guess just George Miller.
Lance Allen her. Moore. Also, we lost during, it looks like.
Yeah, way to thank family, the
families
of the crew.
Way That's to thank the families. Smart. Sir Richard Taylor.
That dude
I met
is a
him
badass.
Once. I met him once. I did when we visited Weta. He was wandering around.
Fuck,
he was,
yes.
he was just fucking there, working like a fucking badass.
Is awesome.
Yep.
Legit awesome. Do you think George Miller and Peter Jackson are buddies?
Oh shit, that's a good question.
Thank you. How have we never asked that question before?
I don't know.
2015.
This is it. This is it. I'm terrified. This is it. It's over. Travis, it's over. What do we do?
It's over.
Oh god.
I don't know.
What do we do? I'm lost.
I don't know. This is a. We're gonna wander the wasteland.
Wait, keep going. Credits. Keep going.
No.
Keep going.
This is
going.
It. Well,
Travis, thank you.
Uri, we set out on a project to spend a year on the Uri Road together. We did it.
And we did it. I love you.
I love you more.
My name is Uri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
And you will always be awaited.